Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple of dudes who like to sit around, drink red wine, and explore the wacky shenanigans of Mr. Jones. That's Alex, if you're nasty. That was the reverse of Janet Jackson.
That was very much very strange.
Alex, Mr. Jones, if you're nasty. Sorry.
And there is a twist on this.
There is.
This is a no-nonsense intro we're doing right
here. Yes, absolutely.
Neither of us are fucking around. There's no, like, pretending that we don't know what this show is about.
No.
We're fucking getting right into this.
This is a pretzel-level twist.
This intro is rock solid, one-to-one, getting in, getting out.
See if you can vamp a little more.
I don't know anything about Alex Jones, and you, my friend.
I can tell you everything about him.
And that is the rub.
And so today we are going to be having a really fun episode that, is going to take us, it's going to jettison us in an entirely new direction with the show. And hence, we are drinking a little wine by the name of The Expedition. Because this will be the beginning of a very important expedition. But before we
get... You know a lot of people die on expeditions.
And we may.
All right.
We may very well uncover something that will get us killed.
Okay, I'm in.
Probably not. But, before we
you
do...
You win some, you lose some.
Before we do, I would like to play this out-of-context drop from an episode back in 2015 that is a little bit longer than our out-of-context drops, but very much worth it.
Okay.
Now, I had neighbors that had peacocks, and they would get downright annoying. But in a way, it was kind of cool. But, man, they screech. But then owls killed them, so I guess that took care of that problem.
No!
Everybody I know has had peacocks. They only have about 6 months because the owls come in and take them out. At night, they don't even eat them. They just fly in and kill them. High speed, boom, basically knock their heads off, break their necks. But great horned owls are amazing. One time I saw one kill a pigeon. Sitting on a power line, it was getting dark, and this big owl just flies by, pow, hits
this
that
is on
pigeon,
his show, right?
Feathers
he's
just
not
explode.
Just talking to somebody from
and
a distance.
And didn't grab the pigeon, just killed it for sport, I guess. Saw a hawk kill a pigeon off a power pole one time.
What is fucking
but
happening?
It hit the ground, and the hawk came down, red tail hawk, grabbed it to the apartment complex I lived at and took off. Side issue.
It's a side issue.
Side issue!
It's just bird
it
death
just
talk.
Yeah. Here's all the stuff that's killed a pigeon recently.
I done seen it once.
and he's laughing at the fact that these owls just murdered his neighbor's peacocks in the middle of the night. Like he's just like, oh, those peacocks were annoying. I'm glad owls murdered that my neighbor's peacock.
Alex has seen a lot of brutality happen in the avian kingdom.
It sure seems like it.
Side issue. I'd like to give a shout out to our new donator. Thank you very much, Lance.
I'm a policy wonk.
Congratulations on becoming a policy wonk. He has donated on the time travel level, and so we'll be doing a special episode based on his time traveling specifications.
Welcome to the fold, Lance.
We're glad to have you. Today, though, I have gone on my own time travel adventure.
Yes.
Because as I have hinted in past episodes, I have undertaken something of an investigation. This investigation is ongoing, but I am currently ready to share the beginning of it.
All right.
And tell the listeners.
Swear to God, if this is Hillary's emails all over again, I'm going to find you.
Dude, guess what? It's not.
Oh, okay.
So I decided at some point when I found an archive of old episodes, I decided that I wanted to figure out exactly where Alex Jones lost his mind. That was something that is of important consequence to me because I'm afraid it's going to happen to me.
So, you're trying to find your own, like, sell-by date? Is that what's going on here?
It's like that episode of Lost where Desmond has to find his constant.
Right.
I have to find Alex Jones far enough in the past where he was sane.
Right. And then we have to stop right before you get to that point.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
That is the plan. So
you're just going to teach me the signs, and then it will be up to me to, you know, kill you, I suppose. That's really
Please
the only,
do.
Yeah. That's really the only option.
Once I turn zombie, take me out.
All right.
But Alex,
I will play the cranberries while that is happening.
I have a lot of experience with Alex from the past, and I had listened to his show at some points for entertainment way back, and I knew that he was not the same person he is in 2017. So I wanted to know what the fuck happened. So I've gone back, and I've listened to episodes, and he's still a bigot and an idiot.
Right.
Way back. But he's changed. And I think the Trump campaign has changed him.
Yeah. And that's what we speculated from the very beginning.
And so I have isolated a start date of my investigation to June 16th, 2015.
Okay.
Which is the day that Donald Trump descended that escalator and announced his candidacy for president. So
I
am exploring.
Time traveling wise, mm-hmm. That is our new kill baby Hitler moment,
well,
right?
No, it turns out not. But that is where I am beginning my investigation. And I can say with absolute certainty that Alex Jones is not 2017 Alex Jones on June 16th.
Okay.
He doesn't support Donald Trump.
All right.
He has no knowledge of Donald Trump to any external observer. If you listen to the show, he doesn't bring him up once. He announces his candidacy on the June 17th show.
Uh-huh.
That Peacock clip was from that show. He's on that tip.
Okay.
He does a half-hour interview with a lady who the city of Visalia, California, told that she couldn't keep goats in her house. He did a half-hour talking
to her. Was that like them like communicating with each other on a farm-based level, just like, hey, you can't sell goats or own goats? Well, guess what? My neighbor can't fucking own peacocks. I'll sick my trained owls on them. And guess what? These owls eat fucking goats, lady. Keep them wherever you want.
They kill goats for fun. Yes, that was an offshoot of that conversation.
Gotcha.
He's on some Agenda 21 shit. He basically, the episode's not worth us covering.
Okay.
It's not very interesting, but
the peacocks would beg to differ.
That is fun. He also has a guest who speculates that gold is going to be selling at $50,000 an ounce shortly.
Shortly. That's a pretty big jump.
Yeah, it would be about a $49,000 an ounce jump.
I can see it.
I'll tell you what, it never happened.
It didn't?
No.
That would be the wildest day in history.
Since 2015, the highest gold has ever been is $1,300 an ounce. So they really shot that mark. They were shooting the moon.
Destroy global currency.
Yeah.
Like the entire world's economy would just end.
Everything would be kind of fun though. Like, it would destroy the currency in a really weird way.
It would be.
And if you had any gold, hooray.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But also.
But even then, your gold then becomes worthless because it's worth, you can't go to, it's like going to a corner store and trying to break 100.
Yeah, whatever you have is only worth what someone is able or willing to give you for it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Also,
nothing.
Also, it's worth mentioning that Alex Jones, to this day and back in 2015 and forever, has been distributed by GCN, Genesis Communications Network, which is a company that's owned by a guy named Ted Anderson, who also owns Midas Resources, a
gold
sales company.
Gotcha.
So him having this guy on, that's coincidental.
That is coincidental.
Yeah. So it's mostly that shit, and then this Agenda 21 fears with the goat lady, and also a story about a guy who lived in, I believe, Huntsville, Alabama.
Okay.
He had a trailer that he set up on the outside of town, but still within city limits.
So he's the hero of our story.
No.
No?
No heroes. He just sets up a trailer and wants to live off the grid. He's got solar panels and he claims that everything's cool. And the city's like, you have to have your home up to code. You don't have consistent water. We don't know if you have like winter proofed this house. So you just got to move outside city limits.
Yeah.
You can't live within the city, especially if you have kids, if you don't have a home that's up to code. And he's like, nah, I'm being oppressed. And so that's Alex's whole angle on it,
yes.
too.
It's, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's being oppressed.
That gets you up to speed on the 17th. That's one day after Donald Trump announces his candidacy. Unfortunately, on the night of the 17th, something very terrible happened. And that was the shooting.
An owl was killed by a peacock.
No, it was the shooting at the Charleston church.
Oh, fuck me.
The Dylan Roof went in and shot up the Emmanuel African Methodist.
I don't want to hear. I don't want this to be an entire episode of me screaming in the background.
It's not going to be entirely that because I think that there's interesting angles we can take to approach Alex's version of it.
Right.
And we're going to have to, because it's what's happening.
Okay. All right. All right. Fine. Be warned. Be warned.
Buyer beware.
No. If that one gets to me.
I promise you this isn't a setup where I was like, I'm going to trick you to come over, and then I'm going to force you to talk about this. Let's just get it out of the way up top.
Yes.
Horrifying event. Terrible. Doesn't really need to be said. Everyone kind of knows where we stand on this.
An event that perhaps more than any other crystallizes the state of America in the 21st century.
Certainly.
It really does, because every thought that people had of like, oh, we're past racism, every single moment of that entire situation is just all of endemic racism in one.
Sure.
Like, it's all there.
It's
like
out and out white supremacy.
Oh,
it's,
absolutely.
It's cuckolding fears. It's
fucking,
black people are taking over fears.
You can't sell a loose cigarette without being murdered by the cops if you're black. But if you murder people in a church, if you murder black people in a church, the cops will take you out to fucking McDonald's.
Certainly.
That is the type of shit that is beyond fucking the pale.
It's nonsense. And you could be,
it makes me want to burn down churches, but that doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Doesn't make things better.
No.
But, here's the good news. Alex doesn't wrestle with much of that.
Good.
I know that this is going to be difficult for you, especially.
Because I am prone to enragement?
Yes. And I have similar feelings. Don't get me wrong. Even if I don't yell as much as you do, I'm yelling on the inside. But I think that this is an important document and a very important piece of my investigation of how Alex went wrong, because there is an interview with a guy at the end of this that sort of, I think, is foundational to Alex's election 2016 behaviors.
Radicalization.
Yes.
Gotcha.
But then at the same time, the rest of the episode, the body of the episode, very perfectly depicts how Alex Jones goes from ambivalence to false flag. And it's very interesting.
False flag campaign?
Thinking that the shooting was a false flag.
Oh, fuck.
So I'm going to lay it out ahead of time. What you're going to experience is at the start of the episode, Alex can't say one way or the other, because he knows how racially charged it would be for him to say this is fake.
Yeah.
So he's like, I don't know. I can't say. There have been a lot of people who have been false flags in the past. We know that Operation Gladio exists.
Yeah.
All this stuff. He's just doing that, like putting his toe in the water. Just like, maybe. Until he has an interview at the end of the episode with a preacher, a Reverend Childress, who comes on and basically just says, come on, this is fake. And now that a black preacher has said that, Alex is freed up to robustly bring the narrative.
So he got permission.
Mm-hmm.
He got the, that's what he thinks he got from that.
But that gives him
covering of his ass.
Totally.
That's what that is.
It's not that he got permission, but it gives him cover. It's
right.
The same as, like, I have black friends. He's like,
yeah.
I talked to Reverend Childress. He says the exact same thing.
Exactly.
And I understand how.
I'm not being racial. That guy's black.
And I understand how kind of, maybe racist it is for me to even suggest that that's what's going on.
No, but that's exactly what's going on.
Over the course of the episode, it feels very clear that that's what's going on.
That's what's going
also, on! Also, before Childress, they have this interview, Alex Jones brings Jakari Jackson in to co-host with him.
Once again.
And because, like, we gotta have our black reporter here.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
And Jakari Jackson says almost nothing and sits there uncomfortably.
Right.
So a secondary element of my investigation is, why did Jakari Jackson quit? And
I think there's one to look. There's just so much a man can take.
Right.
There's so much a man can take.
Alex Jones makes me sit here silently while he interviews this preacher.
Right, right.
And So
he goes home and is like, I don't know if I can do this anymore.
It's a little messed up. But we're gonna start this with the first clip. This is how he starts the episode. And I will say that it starts kind of okay, but it deteriorates really quickly. And then Alex introduces what is going to be his sort of driving narrative about why this shooting isn't the biggest deal in the world, and it's in pretty poor taste. So, I'm sorry.
Mm.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Very tragic events have taken place in Charleston on the East Coast. A deranged, classically mentally ill-looking young man has bust into a church last night and basically sat there for an hour before shooting and killing execution style 9 black people on a white-on-black racial attack. And this is one of these events that I call a Rosetta Stone. There are a lot of them that are.
No, you could
have just
stopped.
But you can take this event and look at every angle of our problems through it and learn a lot. Number one, I don't mean this sarcastically, Dylan Roof, who's now in police custody, who walked around and posted to Facebook and places himself wearing, you know, South African apartheid attire and patches.
This is like a fucking horror movie where I'm just waiting for that fucking thing to drop.
Or gone to medical school to be an abortionist, and then he could kill tens of thousands of black people in his career and be called a great member of society. And that's what the smart racists do.
Wow.
That's why myself and Jakari Jackson and others have gone out and demonstrated and protested out front Planned Parenthood here in Austin, Texas, and a bunch of death-loving scum, spiritual kindreds, I would say, in my opinion, crawl out from underneath rocks to come and attack us.
So within a minute of starting his show, he, like you said, he could have just stopped. He did start with a fairly tasteful, this guy is a crazy person.
He's
a crazy
person.
It's a racial crime.
This is a white on black racial crime. Full stop.
Within a minute of just talking, he's like, but the bigger deal is, or if he wanted to actually kill more black people, he should have become an abortionist.
Yep.
And. Yeah. I mean, great.
That's what smart racists do.
Great spin.
Smart racists, they get rid of all of this public racism and they go straight for the pre-racism. Pre-racism.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever seen Minority Report? That's really what that is.
Sure, sure.
That's what's going on.
So, the abortion rates, are kind of interesting to look at. The minorities, do have higher abortion rates than, white populations.
Yep.
But all numbers have been dropping pretty consistently for years. The reason that most experts who've looked at the numbers give, is
money.
That's a really big part
money,
of it.
Money, 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 money.
Access to healthcare, contraception, that sort of thing, is really, what the true story is about it. It is not that people want to kill black children and so they support, abortion in order to do that. It's a crooked narrative.
It's a bullshit anti-abortion argument that my dad has made 300 million times, and you're just sitting there going, stop, shut the fuck up, then think for 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
What do you care more about? That these babies are born or that anybody can fucking feed them?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to those anti-abortion people is always, life stops being worth caring about at conception.
Yeah, yeah.
They're fucking monstrous.
Mm-hmm.
So they're happily willing to watch hundreds of thousands of children starve, especially in the United States, where we have hundreds of thousands of children starving right now or going hungry. But no, it's fucking anti-abortionists who need to fucking make sure that we get more and more goddamn babies in there. And if you don't want that, if you want abortion legalized, then you're fucking racist. Because 50% of all black babies have been abortionated or whatever the fuck they want to lie about.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that Alex Jones has said before, is that 50% of all black babies are fucking aborted.
It's up to 51 on this episode.
It's up to 51, goddammit!
So that's a majority.
Well, then they now have control of Congress, I guess. I don't know.
But like, if you
they can fucking appoint a Supreme Court justice, sure.
If you take reality out of the equation, it's actually a really good spin for him to make, because it would be incredibly difficult for him to wrestle with the idea that this was a white supremacist who celebrated apartheid South Africa, who celebrated Rhodesia, who had the express purpose of wanting to trigger a race war.
Yeah.
Like, it would be very difficult. So his first volley is 9 people are dead, 51% of black children are aborted. in that.
What's the larger crime?
Right.
What's the, who's going in here for the greater good?
His secondary argument is, look, a lot of people have been brain controlled to commit crimes. And he lists off like the Unabomber, Timothy McVeigh, these folks. And like
Timothy McVeigh, noted right wing racist murderer
guy
who wanted to start a race war,
guy who specifically said that taxes were an act of war against people, and that
was radicalized by the Waco bullshit.
Indeed,
anti-government all the way.
Very similar to Alex in many ways.
Very similar to Alex.
Alex claims that Timothy McVeigh had a chip in his head, and that they were controlling him through that.
Oh, that makes sense.
And I did a little bit of research into that, and I did find an article written by a lady who had a UCLA email address. I don't know if she actually taught at UCLA or was a student. I have no idea.
Or if she just got one.
Yeah, but
she worked there for a while.
She wrote a really, it appears scholarly based on her connection to UCLA, article about how Timothy McVeigh probably was being mind controlled. But then if you look into her past at all, she is a incredibly active member of UFO conspiracy communities.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of goes part and parcel with that.
Well, she wasn't until she wrote that article, mm-hmm. and then she became mind controlled.
Right.
To make sure that you would never believe the truth.
Right.
And I like, the Unabomber is kind of a really, really smart Alex Jones.
Yeah. Well,
like a super genius level Alex Jones would get rid of all of the racism stuff and be like, listen, it's actually all of society. It's not a small group of it. We all need to get out of here.
It's technology.
Get rid of all of this shit. Let's move back to the woods and fight owls because they're stealing our peacocks.
Yeah, yeah. And like, imagine if Ted Kaczynski had to fill 4 hours a day. Like, I know that manifesto's long.
He barely even had 16,000 pages. Come on, man. Come on.
So, like, Alex is, he's struggling to find.
Not 16,000 pages, 16,000 words.
Right. He 16,000 pages.
That would be ridiculous. That's as many emails as Hillary left or whatever.
Come on now.
Yeah, documents.
Alex is struggling at this point to find the foothold of what the narrative is going to be. And I think he's caught off guard a little bit. And he does know.
He wasn't ready to deal with this.
He does know that coming out immediately and saying it's fake will open him up to accusations. So he can't do that. And here is how he sort of ambivalently talks
about.
Yeah,
because this is way post Sandy Hook.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of already knows, like, uh-oh, mass shootings are a place that I don't necessarily want to jump into.
Well, he also knows, I think he does know from the jump, that the narrative has to be gun control. Like, it has to be about how they're going to take our guns with this.
Yes.
But he doesn't know how to get there. And so he's struggling throughout the course of the episode because he has to say essentially that it's fake in order for it to be like, this is a plan to take our guns.
Yes.
But he can't do that, like I said, because it opens him up to way too much very justifiable attack.
Yeah.
Of racism. And so we get into this next clip, which is the first time false flaggery comes up.
Some will say, is it a false flag? Well, because our government and other governments have been caught carrying out mass shooting false flags, and because it's in Operation Northwoods that they would wound people and shoot people at public places and then blame it on their political enemies as a pretext for war with Cuba. Because this happened in Operation Gladio back in the 1950s and 60s and 70s in Europe, you have to say we have to look at that. I don't think that's what this is.
Good.
It could be.
Not good.
But we've seen other demons target white churches, black churches, Jewish synagogues.
All lives matter.
It was a famous case back in the late 90s in Fort Worth where a guy went in and shot and killed 14 people. Mainly a white church. It was a white guy doing it. He was a Navy veteran. And then it turned out he told his neighbors he was under mind control. And I thought, oh, probably schizophrenic. Till they talked to one neighbor and they said, no, we saw him one day being drug out by people in what looked like Navy uniforms and thrown in a white van. This is decades after he'd been in the Navy. You can look up that case.
And I did. So what he's talking about there as his sort of example of white churches being attacked was a gentleman by the name of Larry Jean Ashbrook. He, on September 15th, 1999, killed 7 people and injured a further 7 at a post-see-you-at-the-poll rally featuring a concert by the Christian rock group 40 Days before committing suicide himself. It occurred at Wedgwood Baptist Church in Fort Worth in 1999. Now, the interesting thing about this is the stuff about his neighbors saying that he was dragged out by vans and stuff like that. That's completely unconfirmable. But what we can confirm is that his motivation was that he hated Baptists.
Oh.
It was a religiously based crime where he went in.
He hated Baptists?
Yeah.
That's a really specific one, though.
Well, he was a member of a group. There was a private investigator. This came out in the news.
The ABL, Anti-Baptist League.
The most intriguing new detail came from Houston writer and private investigator John Craig, who said he interviewed Ashbrook in the presence of several Ku Klux Klan members in spring of 1997. The co-writer of a book on white supremacists, Craig said that Ashbrook boasted of his membership in the Phineas Priests, a loose-knit, virulently racist movement that advocates the killing of minorities and Jews. Buford Furrow, who allegedly shot up a Jewish daycare center in Los Angeles in August, is also believed to be a Phineas Priest. He is a member of a group called the Phineas Priests, who are also part of an offshoot of this group called Christian Identity. And they are a group that are
right-wing terrorists.
It is a Christian, Christian identity beliefs, were primarily developed and promoted by two authors who regarded Europeans as the chosen people and Jews as the cursed offspring of Cain.
Man, everybody hates the Jews.
Yeah, it's true.
Why?
But they
let it go, guys.
They also have a belief that, Baptists are a bastardized version of Christianity because of their acceptance and because, they don't rigidly adhere to these European nationalist supremacist ideals.
Yeah, but there's so many, like, you could go with Unitarians. Like, why pick Baptist? That has the feel of like a guy who is fucking nuts just deciding, like, God, Dan, at that fucking Baptist church, didn't get my change right at the grocery store. So that's because of Baptists. They don't know math.
It's possible.
Let's start killing all of them.
It's possible. But I think the more reasonable argument is that Unitarians are too far gone. They're not even Christians. These Baptists need to be got back in line. And maybe if I shock them, they'll realize that they've strayed and come back or something like that.
God damn it.
I'm trying to put myself in a crazy headspace, and it's very difficult.
That's as close as we're going to get.
So there was a guy named Jeremiah Nietz who survived the shooting. He was a 19-year-old former football lineman, and he recounted a conversation that he had during the shooting. And this is a quote from him. "I don't know why, but I just sat there looking at him as he came towards me. When he got within about 5 feet, he pointed one of his guns at me and just glared. I told him, 'Sir, you don't have to be doing this.' He told me to shut the hell up. Then he asked me what my religion was, and I told him I was a Christian, a Baptist. He said, 'That sucks,' and that it was a stupid religion." Nietz replied, "No, sir, it doesn't suck. It's a wonderful thing. God put me on this earth for a reason. I'm certain of that." Ashbrook fired several more rounds and yelled, "This religion is bullshit." And then he sat down and said, "Fuck off," and shot himself in the head. So,
well, one good thing happened.
Yeah, he was a crazy person. And investigators, after the fact, when they went to his house, they discovered that he had virtually destroyed the interior of his house. Holes were bashed into the walls with crowbars. The toilet was filled with concrete, and the fruit trees growing in the backyard had been poisoned. He is just a nut. He was a completely crazy person. And though he was involved in racist, organizations like these Phineas Priests, Christian Identity, clearly had some relation to the Klan, that wasn't not, like, it was just about Baptists. Like, it wasn't.
Well, I mean, he was most likely a loaded gun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't he was, specifically going after Baptists.
No, he was.
He's a fucking, no. I mean, I know he was.
Sorry.
He's a fucking lunatic who was accepted by these people.
Yeah.
That's what it was. So, this dude is crazy, probably rammed to the gills with PTSD.
Yeah.
Meets up with these KKK guys who support everything he believes, keeps getting kind of promoted into these cooler and cooler, like, little inner circle things, and they just basically prime him with all of this bullshit.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, it could have been anything. It could have been like,
that's how,
hey,
hate groups
you know
work.
Who the real problem is? It's fucking, I don't know, pick a group.
That's how hate groups work. Yeah. They take people who are disenchanted, disenfranchised, and they gradually lead them down the path. It's the same with cults. Yeah. You know, like Scientology, you don't know the end until you're too far in to do anything about it. You get indoctrinated into these hate groups, and you maybe don't realize they're hate groups until it's like, oh, fuck, I'm already in deep.
It's a suicide bomber.
And it's the same thing with Alex.
It's a suicide bomber. It's the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
That's what he was. He was a suicide bomber.
Yeah.
Just because he had a gun instead of a bomb doesn't make him any less of a terrorist.
Yeah, he killed 7 people, 4 of which were teens. But the point that he went to a white church is super irrelevant, and it's doesn't just matter. Alex trying to make false equivalencies.
Yeah.
So we get on to the next clip. Which is,
hey, black people died. Well, guess what? White people died too. So that means everything's fine and we never have to confront the fact that this whole goddamn country is filled with racist fucks and we're never going to be rid of it.
Not the whole country, but a lot of it. A lot of it.
No, it's the whole fucking place.
Every part of the country.
It's infiltrated with these horrifying people.
Right. And the internet is making it worse.
Yeah.
But this next clip is actually kind of fun because Alex, in his rambling, trying to make sure everyone knows that he doesn't like Dylann Roof, accidentally supports gun control.
Okay.
In this next clip.
All right. We're learning. We're
He'd
growing.
Been in and out of trouble, trespassing, and other activities. And he just looks like the textbook case lunatic.
That is true. I do agree with him.
And let me tell you, if I had a son like that, I would not be giving him a gun. But that's just common sense.
So there we
yes!
go. There we go.
It is!
Now,
don't let those guys have guns!
Now, extrapolate that as a parenting technique to a social moray.
Exactly!
Or how we guide society, and now we have a better world.
Hey, if you don't like mentally ill people having guns, don't let them have guns!
See, now, this is where we have to get into where Alex Jones is really smart as a propagandist. Because his whole thing is that they want to take our guns. When the reality is the people who are interested in gun control don't want to take your guns. You can have your guns, but we want to make it more regimented. We want to make it safer. We want to make a world where it's harder to get a gun because people like this asshole exist.
And fewer, you know what? It doesn't matter if it's harder to get a gun or not. I want to live in a world where fewer people get shot by guns.
Yes.
If it doesn't matter to me what the solution is. It seems obvious that the solution is gun control. But if the solution truly was give everybody 10 guns and just wear them all the time.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that too.
Sure.
Just so long as fewer people get fucking murdered.
Yeah.
I'm for it.
We want the end goal, not the process.
I don't care.
Yeah. And I think that what the reason I was saying he's smart is that every single thing you have to come out swinging as if it was the thing you're afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you are always on the offensive even when you're being defensive. So in the same way that like this isn't a thing where people want to take your guns, you have to act like it is. Cause if you don't, you give a little bit of, you show weakness. And as long as you project strength and aggression at all times, people will, you know, you can't really have an argument with him because he does in that clip. He agrees. If I was his dad, I would not let him have a gun.
Yeah. But then his comeback to you would be like, hey, but that's me because I should have the right to do that.
Over my
son. It shouldn't be the government.
I don't want a nanny state.
Exactly. Yeah.
I guess it is problematic.
Yeah.
So, you know, that church we just talked about, the shooting.
The white church.
There's another one that Alex wants to bring up.
Uh-oh.
And it's an even worse example.
Oh, no.
By the way, did you hear 10 were shot? 10 white people were shot and killed.
10 white people?
By 5 black gunmen.
Well, that
means
it's
all fine. Of course, that was in 1993 when apartheid was ending, and then it came out in the news later that it had been organized and probably paid for by groups that wanted to keep apartheid in place. So there's the London Telegraph reporting on what many believe is a false flag.
He has David Knight on to talk a little bit more about this, but they don't get into any detail or actually talk about what the actual situation they're talking about is.
Okay.
This is in 1993 in South Africa. It was the St. James Church Massacre.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've ever heard about this.
I have not.
It's a event that has sort of slipped through the sands of time. because shit was real bad in the 90s in South Africa.
Yeah.
The end of apartheid was a really difficult time for folks. So there was, this was one of four major attacks, between late 1992 all the way through 1993, perpetrated by the Azanian People's Liberation Army. It was a group, that was founded after the Sharpeville Massacre, which was in 1960, I believe. And it was a thing where 69 people were killed and 180 injured, many shot in the back fleeing. Police reports claim that, quote, young and inexperienced police members panicked and opened fire on protesters, setting off a chain reaction. This Sharpeville massacre happened during a protest of what was known as pass laws. Are you aware of pass laws?
I've heard of them. I don't quite remember entirely the whole thing.
They were laws that essentially required black citizens in South Africa to carry a passport around with them at all times. It was a way of trying to limit their movement and was one of the foundational aspects of the apartheid system.
Right. It's the voter ID writ large all day, every day kind of law.
Absolutely.
It's, no, it's a reasonable thing. You don't want people just going anywhere they
want. You gotta know who people are.
You gotta know who people are. What if they're crazy? What if they're a terrorist?
Right.
We gotta make sure we know who everybody is.
And
now,
make sure it's only
because,
the black ones. Make
just
sure
because
only the black
it
ones.
Only targets a certain group of people doesn't mean that it's about that. No.
So in 1960, about 7,000.
About safety. It's your safety too.
Totally. About 7,000 people in 1960 were demonstrating against these pass laws. Because originally it was just for men over 16. And then they expanded to include women and younger people, and it was just becoming a thing where, what the fuck, guys?
Right.
So they protested against it, and as we've described, and that was the official report from the police, young and inexperienced cops just opened fire on them.
Right.
Some people say that the protesters were throwing rocks at the police, but it's unclear. There are other sources that say that they were completely peaceful and the cops fired on them.
Yeah.
So the APLA, the Azanian People's Liberation Army, was formed in response to that massacre under the name POCO, but then changed their name later. And let's be honest, they did do some terrorist shit, but there's a reason.
I don't want, so a lot of the people who were, I would say most of the people who were negatively affected by that group probably didn't actively participate.
Right.
Probably weren't actively worthy of what they got.
Mm-hmm.
But I am far more sympathetic to the Azanian Liberation Party than anybody else.
The APLA's argument was that because of the apartheid system, every white person was complicit in how things were operated.
And I agree.
There is an argument. I mean, certainly it's not a good enough argument that I would support killing them. But it's definitely true.
I don't support killing them, and I don't think that would really solve anything, but my empathy for them is massive.
Yeah.
Compared to my empathy for the white people who died.
So after the, also, by the way, Alex said it was 10 people, it was 11, and
right.
he said there were 5 gunmen, there were 4. After the St. James Massacre, all 4 men responsible were captured and arrested and incarcerated. They appealed for amnesty from Bishop Desmond Tutu's Truth and Reconciliation Committee, which happened after apartheid, because they were like, we don't want to do Nuremberg trials.
Yeah.
We want to try and heal the wounds of society.
Right.
So they appealed to this Truth and Reconciliation Committee, and they ended up meeting with survivors and family members of victims from the massacre that they had carried out, and they reconciled with them. They understood the ramifications of their actions. They repented and these sorts of things. And I think that it's a better way to go about society as a whole.
Of course.
And so they were all granted amnesty by the Truth and Reconciliation Committee. Now, if that sounds fucked up, that 4 out of 4 of the people who carried out this massacre were granted amnesty, consider this. Only 849 out of the 7,112 applications for amnesty to the Truth and Reconciliation Committee were accepted.
Okay.
So it was not a rubber stamp thing.
Okay.
Clearly, they went through the process and found, all right, this makes sense.
Right. It's not a repeatable behavior. It's not like a breaking and entering where if you get out of jail, you're gonna break and enter somewhere else again, or you're gonna commit larger crimes. This was you guys systematically oppressed and enslaved my people and we fought back.
Yeah.
If you don't understand why we have at least some justification for fighting like this, you're an insane person.
Yeah, yeah. And they were carrying out orders to some extent from their APLA organization.
Right.
So they were sort of foot soldiers to a greater extent. And beyond that, the organization was created in response to police massacres.
Right.
So I would never come out and say I support their actions, but I do support the conclusion of the Truth and Reconciliation Committee.
Yeah, it's not the right way to do something, but if you don't have sympathy for it, then you're just being unreasonable.
Yeah, and if you don't understand the social dynamics that create stuff like that,
right,
you're being intentionally obtuse.
Well, how
like Alex is being intentionally obtuse.
Yeah.
For the argument of white nationalism.
If you get trapped into this system, mm-hmm, that is oppressing you and destroying you at every single turn, there's no way that you can't begin to feel so helpless that you think, well, what else is there to do,
right,
but commit acts of violence?
Well, it's like that that idea that rioting is the voice of the oppressed.
Yeah.
To some extent, if you can't get recourse for grievances that are real in court, if the system is so broken against you, it sucks, but the only thing you can do is burn down a building.
Well, the woman who murdered that kid, the cop who murdered that kid and was on trial was just fucking, like, she was cleared of all charges. Mm-hmm. Cleared of all charges, even though they had it on camera that she actually murdered that kid, cleared of all charges, and went back to work. The lady in Oklahoma, Betty Shelby, was a police officer who murdered Terrence Crutcher. Straight up murderer. Murdered him. Mm-hmm. No other way to describe it. And she was acquitted of all charges and just went straight back to work. So then, if that type of shit happens, you look at that and you think, there is no justice system.
No.
There's no justice. So why would I want to go through these? Why would I want to be peaceful? Why would I want to do all of this stuff? Because I am getting no justice anywhere else. I have to take justice into my own hands.
Right.
It is, to me, it is, like you said, willfully obtuse to think that riots and the like are some sort of silly action.
Right.
Or that the Black Lives Matter protesters want to kill cops.
Right.
No.
That's stupid.
They want justice. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah. Do you know what you get? You get justice. So if it's only applied to you and not to them, get ready for some shit burning down.
Well, yeah, and Alex would argue in favor of riots for this perceived they're going to take our guns.
Oh, exactly.
Shit.
Yeah.
And it's just really unfair and logically inconsistent. It's a real bummer. It's a real bummer. This next clip that we're going to play here, comes, almost immediately after he talks very inaccurately about this South African situation that he calls a false flag.
Okay.
Categorically wasn't. Also they imply that it was white people who carried it out and pretended they were black. I looked up.
That's trying to get racial cover in like all directions.
Yeah.
I
looked
it
up.
No, we're not being racist. We're not being racist. It's probably white people, or at the very least, it was a false flag run by white people. So it's white people. We're definitely not being racist about this. So that means we're not being racist about Dylann Roof.
I don't buy his argument at all. It's so stupid. But then he comes back and, he makes a stupid prediction that did not come to pass, but also laments the state of being white.
The mainstream media hyping racial division and race war in this country 24/7 and creating the perception that blacks are being targeted by white people everywhere for extermination has elicited a lot of low intensity attacks on whites that, quite frankly, I see almost every day and don't even cover.
Fuck.
Not that I'm covering up that whites are being targeted.
You...
I'll just mention, hey, there are attacks,
Alex,
on whites. They're intensifying.
Go
Here's the crime statistics. It's very sad. This is being hyped. They want to get a race war going. Whites will start responding. Mentally ill, criminal
responding,
types.
Responding, whites responding.
And then it could
whites
build towards
responding.
A crescendo. And you see George Soros and the media pushing for this to federalize police after a summer of rage coming up this summer. This is it. This is the big one. With Obama with a year and a half left to try to ram through a bunch of federalization, gun control, you name it.
So that's the dumb prediction. We can now, 2 years after, look back and there was not a summer of rage. I actually had kind of a summer of rage in that I was drunk through most of it. I was raging pretty good.
Yeah.
But there was not a crackdown. There's not a federalization of the police forces.
Is that would that be good or bad?
What do you mean?
Federalizing the police force. I've never ever heard that before.
Well, what
would that even entail?
What he's talking about specifically is he's responding to comments that like Al Sharpton made after the Charleston shooting. And he was talking about how, in the civil rights time, we needed to involve the federal government, and states' rights was the bad guy, because the idea that states could decide that blacks can't vote and that sort of thing was a real problem.
I've never seen states' rights used in that kind of context.
Except for most of the time.
Who would have guessed that states' rights generally is a really, really bad thing used by really, really bad states?
So even Sharpton's argument about that isn't saying states can't decide anything. It's that in issues such as human rights, you need to have the federal government overseed to some extent, because
pretty much the only reason that we have one,
because otherwise you could have, like, I don't know, Oklahoma could just be like, no blacks, kick them all out. I mean, you could do that if states decided everything.
States' rights,
right?
States' rights.
So progress.
Let the free market decide, Dan.
Right. All the businesses would flounder in Oklahoma if they did
exactly.
that.
Exactly. They would have no.
Except they
fucking,
wouldn't.
God, I hate. Ugh.
Wouldn't work out that way.
No, of course not.
So Sharpton was arguing that in terms of. He was responding also to other incidents where, much like that situation you just mentioned, cops kill African Americans and they don't get punished. They
no
get
punishment at
either
all.
Slap on the wrist or they try and bury it. He's talking about systematic racism. The federal government needs to get involved, because otherwise local, state, bodies are not taking care of the issue. And so
every major, advancement for any kind of racial justice has always come from the top down.
Because, quite frankly,
it's always come from federal government.
Quite frankly, most people are for it.
Yeah.
But in small pockets, they're not.
Right.
And those pockets are densely
populated
compact.
In shitty states.
Yeah. So Alex's big fear is this idea of federalization of the police force, and that would be the government, the evil government that he has in his head,
right,
takes control of all police. And they use it to create a crackdown and a police state that ends up in taking away everyone's guns. And
right.
Now we're in a repressive regime.
Right. Well, see, the reason that I fixated on that for a second is because I had never heard that before. And my instinct whenever he says it's a bad thing is
it's
to
a good
be like,
thing.
Is federalizing police good?
Yeah.
Did somebody have a plan for this that they didn't tell me about and I just hadn't heard that this was a great idea?
80% of the time, you can know whatever the right thing is exactly the opposite of what Alex is
saying.
But
this thing I actually do kind of feel like would be much more likely to be on the negative side.
Sure.
If there were a giant, like, there's a whole reason that the National Guard exists inside the borders and the Army doesn't.
Right.
If you had a federal police system that was completely and utterly above things, you know, much larger, or, you know, if everybody became the FBI,
mm-hmm.
as we all know about the FBI, their intentions are not always good.
No.
And generally can be very bad.
I agree with that in principle, and the idea of a completely federalized police force is not a good one.
Yeah.
But it's not what people are arguing for. They're arguing for, some federal input to help, contain and deal with situations that local and state governments are unwilling to.
Right, exactly.
So that is what that is. It's the same thing with the misunderstanding gun control versus taking your guns.
Yeah.
It's a lack of nuance and knee-jerk propagandist fear. And so that's the boat he's in. I have cut out a Paul Joseph Watson report from this episode. Because I knew that you couldn't.
Excellent.
You couldn't handle it.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Dan.
It is all just about how whites are the real victims.
Oh my God.
It's a disaster.
Oh my God.
So I cut that out, entirely. But in this next clip, we get back to the idea of whether or not the Charleston shooting was fake. Alex again is wrestling with it. And it's so clear to me in this clip that he wants to say it's fake, but just can't pull the trigger.
So those are just some of the angles here. He's been apprehended. Who knows how obvious this will get if it is some type of staged event. And it could be. I'm not saying it's a staged event, but our government and criminal elements have done things like this before. The pastor was a state senator.
Done. Proven.
For 14 years.
Proven.
The pastor killed in Charleston.
That's all I needed to know.
So it's very, 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 very suspicious.
Say
that this
it.
Is the particular place that
say
was targeted.
It. You want to say it?
Well, I mean,
say it. Just say it. Come out and say it.
That's such bad radio.
You know you want to say it.
Such long pauses, and it's clear that he's just like, I can't. Fuck, it's that evil twin.
It's the same evil twin
holding him back.
It's the same thing he did immediately following the Pizzagate thing, where he had the new information about the Pizzagate, which was, our government has done stuff like this before, so it could have been. I'm just asking questions.
Yeah, it's just...
It's plausible. It's plausible. I'm just asking questions.
It's bad reporting and it's bad broadcasting because it's all just insinuation. And it's all... And the idea that he's like, it's suspicious that this is the place that was targeted. It's an incredibly historic black church. So it's not suspicious that that was what was targeted by a racist who wanted to start a race war.
Yeah.
It's a very sacred place to a lot of people and has a rich history. So it's not suspicious at all.
You know what's fascinating to me about the race war arguments?
What's that?
The people who think that the race war is coming is most of them think that it will be all on one side. Like all white people versus all black people.
I'm siding with the black people.
Most people do not realize that there's a good chunk of us who would be like, nah, dude, we are not on the white racist side on this one.
No.
We're kind of, look, I'm white, but I'm not real happy about
it. I'm not thrilled.
I mean, it's great.
I'm not.
All the stuff is nice.
I think it's an important distinction to make too, that neither of us are ashamed of the fact that we happen to be white. That's not the case. But we recognize the history of white people in this country and throughout the world. And not all of it's bad, but there is a very, very serious history of oppression.
Most of it is bad because if you ever read a history book and the sentence you read is then, and then white people showed up, you go, oh, fuck no.
Oh, no.
That's not going to end well.
I mean, even on our last episode, we completely destroyed Guatemala for bananas.
Right.
Like, it's... I mean, we pretended it was about communism, but it really wasn't.
Well, it's like the Louis C.K. bit.
We do that to everybody.
The Louis C.K. bit is perfect, where it's like, listen, being white is not inherently better. White people are not inherently better, but being white is obviously better.
Right. And
like,
that's part
we
of
get
the
so
problem.
Many, yeah. We get so many advantages that we just raped and murdered our way into. Like,
yeah.
It's not a good system. And it's not ultimately a good system for us either.
No.
But, of course, if you have this kind of privilege, the idea of somebody equalizing things to you means they're taking away your privilege.
Right, right.
It doesn't mean that everybody is being equalized. It means you're being lowered.
Right.
And that's why people get fucked up about it. People think of it as a, this is being taken from me and given to them.
People look at it as a zero-sum game.
Yeah.
Your loss
is
my gain.
It's both.
Yeah.
If they gain, everybody gains.
Yeah.
It is always a good thing if more people have more.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that, and that's-
Especially the most fundamental things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing that drives me insane about the whole, Reaganomics idea, which is like, well, the rich people need as much as they can to give us some, when it's just, if poor people had more money, they would buy more shit. We'd all have more money.
Or maybe some of them with really good ideas would create businesses that become
right.
innovative.
Exactly.
People like Hamdi Ulukaya.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, if you make opportunities more available, more are available for everyone.
Yep.
It boggles my mind how you can't understand that.
Nah. Trickle down, baby.
Mm.
So, in this next clip, Alex gets pretty defensive about his guns. And he says something.
How many guns does Alex have?
I can't.
It's gotta be a lot, right?
I can't even imagine.
It's gotta be a shit ton of guns.
This clip is really weird. And he basically pleads guilty to a crime he was not accused of.
Oh God.
Can we bring the Barrett 50 cals in here if Weldon can get those?
I don't want
to. You know, one is brown and the other is black. So see, I discriminate when it comes to guns. I like them black, or I like them brown, or I like them green, like the Incredible Hulk. I don't like shiny chrome ones, and I've even seen, like, for, I guess, no warfare, they've got white bodies that go on guns. You know, I'm kind of discriminatory. I don't like white guns. But I'll assure you, my Barrett 50 caliber rifles have never been used in any murders, period. No, not mine. The 50 cal itself has never been used in a murder. It's been used in one crime. And there are hundreds of thousands of the Barrett alone in circulation in the U.S.
I couldn't figure out what that one crime was.
What?
My guns have never murdered anybody.
Why did you need to say that?
Right. After
that's a very, very specific thing to say.
After that, what he thinks is a bit.
I don't like white guns.
Fake laugh. No one said that your guns have been used in murders. And then he goes on to defend the gun.
Should we have asked you if your guns had been used in murders?
Like I'm saying, he's got guilty conscience. So he says that this Barrett 50 cal has never been used in murders.
And then he starts crying about Nonk. Well, there's only been one crime.
He killed Nonk?
Committed this guy. I miss you, Nonk!
You had to put him down.
I miss you, Nonk!
Kept trying to make him drown. Or whatever. So the thing about that that's slightly misleading is a Barrett 50 cal is a fucking huge gun.
That's what I was thinking. A 50 caliber is a very large bullet.
It's one of those guns that you have to like prop up to use, basically. Those guns that you see people with the like comical cartoon version of ammunition
belts
on it. It's basically that. You set up a position and prop the gun up on a tripod and use it. The idea of carrying it with you is impossible. It's like Rambo shit. It's out of movies. No one would ever use that. It's a very, like, the idea that you're like, no one has ever used this in a murder. Of course. It's just unwise.
It's like Terminator 2 using the minigun to hold up a liquor store. Like, dude, just calm it down, man.
AK-47s can be stealthily hidden on your back to some extent, and handguns are way more, useful than a fucking Barrett 50 caliber.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I use it to go hunting.
Right. I mean, that even seems, like, unnecessary. It's even
I also use it to go chopping down trees.
I use it to scare the government lest they get out of control.
Yeah.
That's more of what it is. I mean, it's basically a military gun.
Yeah, no, of course it is. Well, assault rifles are military guns. You can't.
Totally.
There's no reason to have an assault rifle.
I'm 50-50 on it. I do believe that some, piece of the we should be armed in case the government gets out of line. I think some of that argument is reasonable.
Yeah, but we're all thinking it's more and more reasonable as time goes on.
I mean, I know the point that whatever the government has is way bigger and badder than anything we could possibly have. I do know that is true also, but I have a number of friends. I mean, I grew up in central Missouri.
Right.
And there's a lot of people who are really big into guns and they aren't crazy and they're very responsible about it. And so the fact that, like, that community does exist, I know that there are a pocket of people who are into guns and are just like, I keep them because I'm interested in guns and I want to be armed in case I have to protect.
Guns make your dick hard.
There's a bit of that, too.
That's what it is. Guns make your dick hard. But if you're make you feel like you're powerful.
But if you're responsible and you're not hurting anybody, I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, that's fine.
And if you
plenty of shit.
Yeah.
Look, autoerotic asphyxiation is pretty great, too.
If you're careful.
It's what it is, yeah.
It can kill you, but if you're careful.
Exactly.
Go for it.
If it makes your dick hard and that's what you need, that's fine. I'm fine with that. But for real, there's no reason to have an assault rifle.
No, it's true, but I do know some people who have them and they're responsible with them and I would trust them to own them. It's not for hunting purposes.
Right.
It's a weird defense fantasy. And
it is a fantasy.
I disagree with it, but at the same time, I get the principle.
Right.
And I'm not going to say everyone shouldn't have assault rifles. I think that, but again, it comes down to what gun control is.
Right.
Make sure that people who will use them for ill don't have them.
Yeah.
Or make it harder for them to get them.
Well, even though it's illegal, or at least legally murky to actually study, the results of guns, because our gun lobbies are so amazing that they made it a law. You can't research it. They won't give you any funding for it.
Lest you find out the truth.
Exactly. Even though that's the case, they can still kind of go back through, police reports and the like, And in situations where a gun was had and could potentially have been used to defend yourself.
The good guy with a gun theory?
Yeah, never works. Ever.
Actually,
there are very, very, very few situations where it does work.
Fuck you, man. The same.
Oh, do you have anecdotal evidence?
From this exact episode.
Oh, well, great. Then that's all I need. I don't need any larger statistics. I just need to know that it happened one time.
Big picture, you're totally right, but it is actually kind of interesting that the St. James Massacre, there was a guy in the congregation who was armed, and he started shooting at them.
Right.
And because of that, they ended up fleeing,
right.
The four gunmen. And if they hadn't, if that guy hadn't have been there and shot at them and they fled, they had petrol bombs that they were going to throw into the church, and it would have killed so many people. So in that individual instance.
So we got one.
Right, and there are a couple instances, but you're right. Principle-wise, it doesn't really work out that
bullshit.
Way.
Yeah, no, it's bullshit. Yeah. Yeah, you know, fucking one time something happens, it's a infinite universe, but on the whole, the good guy with the gun theory is complete and utter bullshit.
Totally. Let's get off this gun topic for a little bit, because Alex wants to take a transition and talk a little bit about the idea that black people are taking white people's women.
Yeah, let's get off guns and get back into racism.
Get into cucking.
You know me. I have very low opinions on both.
Yeah. This is Alex sort of responding to what Dylann Roof had said about the idea that black people were taking white women, all that, and Alex sort of doesn't get the point and buys into the narrative a little bit too much.
This guy looks like mind control, but he may have been culturally mind controlled.
All right.
His statements were reportedly black people are taking over and taking over our women. No, actually, black people's population is not growing, and black people are a test model for destroying everybody. And are just in absolute hell with their unemployment doubled and just under total attack.
Yes.
Contrary to what, if he is some cornball, you know, racist, idiot, loser who was brought up to, I mean, obviously he was mad. He's 21.
Fake.
You think this guy could get
bullshit.
A girlfriend?
Fuck you.
So then he got upset, if he really is organic attacker, and went out because he thought somebody was, quote, getting his women. Spoken like someone that can't get any women.
Oh, there it is. God damn it. God damn you, Alex.
I can't get any women because of the black people. No, you can't get any women because you're a freak. If you really did this. But he's got the 1,000-yard stare of somebody who's been mind controlled.
Alex does not know where to land.
What is going on there?
He is like a pilot who's trying to come in for a landing, and the tower is like, don't do it.
Dude,
don't land.
There's not here.
There's problems on the strip.
Go anywhere but here.
Yeah. So he's coming down and his argument, like, to a certain extent is he kind of just needed a girlfriend.
He needed to get fucked.
Yeah. And that's problematic, because it does.
It's not a great argument.
Well, it
but it does have some merit to it.
No, because there's plenty of racists who get laid. Like, it's not.
No,
there's
I know.
Plenty of horrible bigots who get laid.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm
Sex
saying in this,
doesn't
in this particular circumstance, his logic is, far more reasonable on that front than it is in so many other cases.
Well, just because the other ones are so much.
Exactly.
They're so far off base.
Yeah. But I'm happier with him saying, hey, the real problem is this guy needed to get fucked, than him saying it's a false flag.
That sounds like something someone would say on like a shock jock show.
Yeah.
That would be like Howard Stern.
Exactly.
Like, guy just needs a good banging.
You know what? That's dumb. That's just dumb.
Yeah.
It's not horrifyingly offensive.
It's reductive, but it is when you're using that as sort of a rebuttal to Dylann Roof's claims that black people are taking our women. That sort of thing. First of all, the idea of our women is fucking stupid and possessive.
Nope, we're all on the same team.
But like using that as a rebuttal
our
to that,
women.
That.
God.
But when he uses that in context there, he is giving credence in many ways to Dylann Roof's grievance, because he's responding to it in the, you can't get a girlfriend. Like that sort of thing. It's playing in the same ballpark.
It is, but it's his version of.
He's like,
you can't
get fucked, but it's not black people's fault.
It's his version of being fair. Like, that's his idea of, like, to me, it's not a race thing. To me, you're not mad at race.
Right.
You're just doing that. You're just lashing out because you can't get laid. So that takes me off the hook from saying it's about race too.
Right. It's just about chauvinism.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly. But again, we can't talk about toxic masculinity either.
No. Cause that's a globalist plot.
That's such a classic way that racism and the patriarchy kind of dovetail together is, oh, we need to protect our women, our weak, you know, willing to be seduced women from these uncouth black people.
But that's how so much horrible stuff has passed.
Right.
Like, a lot of drug stuff is about that too. Like, it's insane.
No, it's a conscious kind of like racism and sexism are all tied up into one big
It's also heavily driving the porno industry. But,
Cucks.
So remember I was telling you about the
Also, if you donate $10,000 a month, you can become a policy cuck. And we will have a black dude fuck your wife. I don't know.
But I'm not sure how it
I don't know out. Exactly the I don't know where I was going there.
Soros,
I'm just saying,
email us, we'll work out the
details.
Yeah,
exactly.
So you remember
we just want you to become a policy cuck. That's all we want. I just wanted to say those two words next to each other.
$15 a month, policy cuck. If you remember, I was telling you about this St. James massacre in South Africa that
yes.
Alex was pitching as, hey, you guys
False
remember,
flag.
You guys remember that 10 people were, 10 white people were killed? Also, I have no evidence that all the victims were white, be that
right.
as it may. Alex has some more thoughts about it. He talked to David Knight very boringly about it. Mm-hmm. And, Alex accidentally said,
which is how everyone talks to David Knight about everything.
Jesus. Alex accidentally said this.
Reading about this years after it happened when I got on air in 95, that there'd been a false flag, in South Africa to blame black people. And it was never completely proven, but it was white gunmen.
White.
It was never completely proven. In fact.
Odd.
In fact, the
was
opposite
it?
Has
was
been proven.
Was it completely proven? It's no. Was the opposite completely proven?
Kind of.
So.
Yeah.
It is still technically a true statement to say that it was never completely proven that I was correct. Because of the obvious fact that I was false.
So stupid. And then at the end there, he gets in his, it was white gunmen, and it wasn't. So in this next clip, Alex talks about how, there are victim disarmament zones. And that's gun talk for, we should allow guns in churches and schools. And then he gets back to his Planned Parenthood riff, because he knows that David Knight is super against abortion. And
right.
so he does this. I swear to God, he thinks it's like a bit. He thinks he's doing a good bit. Like he's Dennis Miller or some shit coming on a conservative show and like, hey,
it's basically what Dennis Miller does.
Racists should just work at Planned Parenthood, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, and, so here we go.
But the other thing that we need to look at from this is the fact that we don't want to create victim disarmament zones like schools, like churches, and say this is just going to be this nice little peaceful area. We don't want to have weapons there. Weapons and the whole Second Amendment is essentially about the right and duty
of self-defense.
This coward,
if he did it, went there. And yes. I'm going to tweet out. I just forgot to do it. I meant to do it this morning. And it's a serious tweet. It's not sick humor because they'll spin it to that. In fact, everybody should tweet. Why didn't Dylann Roof just
kill
go to work at Planned Parenthood? He could carry out the dead black babies every day.
Yeah.
I mean, he could be part of killing 51% of the black people, and then he could be lauded as a hero by Time Magazine. Why didn't Dylann
make a
Roof
lot of money. Yeah.
go out and be a liberal and try to teach blacks to kill their children? I mean, he wants to kill black people. That's the effective way to do it.
Real solid.
Fucking. Ugh.
Real good argumentation.
I don't have the emotional strength to be this angry all day today. Dan,
I know. Let's just.
Dan, are you trying to suck the lifeblood out of me?
Yeah, kind of. But also, like, let's just move on because that's just so.
That's so fucking unbelievably racist and bullshit and spinning this.
It's
this
stupid on its face.
Absolutely unjustifiably bullshit propagandistic narrative that drives so much of my life. Absolutely insane. Anytime I speak to anybody in my family when they have that kind of like, oh, well, if this, then this.
What about?
You can't say this. You can't say this.
What about?
Oh, you know, the number one killer of black people is abortion. So that means I can't be racist because I know that. even though that's not true.
I also contest the premise.
It's ridiculous.
So,
but it's that idea of, oh, I care.
So
I care about black people in the right way.
Right.
It just so happens that I'm willing to watch them die in every other fucking way.
Well, because then they've committed sins.
Exactly.
But, so you're bringing up statistics.
The bane of the right wing.
Well, Alex has some interesting ideas about statistics. And actually, just listen very carefully to what he says here, because he lets slip that he's aware that he's wrong, but then minimizes the fact that he has just let slip that he knows he's wrong. It's a very interesting clip.
Okay.
And I actually think that this...
Mic down! I'm preemptively miking down.
It's kind of short too, though, but it's just...
Then I shall leave my mic up.
Look, you only put the mic down when I tell you.
I'm sorry!
Anyway, here we go.
And the truth is, Paul Watson broke it down. Blacks are 8 times more likely to attack whites. Now, part of that's police reporting, I believe, is somewhat jolted towards blacks. But the statistics are there and don't lie.
You should have had the mic down because you missed the most important thing he said there. And I'm going to play it again, or at least after he gives a shout out to Paul Joseph Watson, because it's essential to hear him contradict himself within 4 seconds.
Okay.
Black whites. Now, part of that's police reporting, I believe, is somewhat jolted towards blacks. But the statistics are there and don't lie.
So he's saying the statistics are there and they don't lie, and they say that 8 times more white people are attacked by black people.
But right before that, he said he thinks the statistics are jilted towards black people.
Because of police reporting, and that is 100% true.
So prior to saying that the statistics don't lie...
He said the statistics lie.
He said the statistics are lying.
Yes.
All right. This is a very difficult thing for me to handle.
This
right
is the
now.
Complicated headspace that Alex Jones lives in, because he has to push a narrative,
right.
But he's smart enough to know, not necessarily true.
Even though this isn't true, I mean, I know it's true.
I gotta push it because I've done it. I have a bedrock of racism I've gotta hold up. So, this next clip, and I want to be totally clear. I'm not cutting out stuff that, like, makes all of this okay. And I
what stuff would there be?
I don't know.
What kind of redeeming stuff could this, like,
I just have
if,
to be
the only way is if at the end of every clip that you have played for us
I've
so
cut
far,
out him saying JK.
Cut out, yeah, exactly. You've cut out him saying, now this is exactly what an Alex Jones type person would say.
Now, guys, I'm not crazy. I don't believe that.
Yeah, I don't believe any of this bullshit. I'm priming you guys to fight against it whenever an Alex Jones type says stuff like this.
I always get really self-conscious that people will think that I'm strategically editing things and making it look like he's saying things he's not. I just want to be clear that, like, most of the stuff that I've cut out is just diversions down the road talking about, like, the Batman Aurora shooter and Ted Kaczynski and, he talks a lot about that, and it murkies the issue a little bit, because he makes the argument that all those people were brain controlled and used for false flag attacks and stuff like that. And I don't have the fucking energy to make this a 5-hour episode where we break down each and every one of those, but most of those are bullshit.
Hey, you know how we're talking about this one? Just apply all of the same stuff we say, but put different events in there,
but some
it's the same bullshit.
But some of them are
the
some of them are more interesting than others, in the sense that, like, Ted Kaczynski is way more interesting because he was part of MK Ultra studies
right.
when he was at Harvard as a younger man, and he was dosed with tons of hallucinogens
right.
that may have set him off on a path that he wouldn't have gone off otherwise. That's entirely possible. It's fascinating, but that does not mean he was being brain controlled in order to bomb people or any of that shit. So. Be that as it may, that's most of the stuff that I've cut out.
And if it was something where, the other thing about that kind of argument is just like, well, then take it the next step. If we could mind control people to bomb stuff, goddamn if we wouldn't be doing it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the thing that you would see all the time to solve all your problems, is just mind control somebody into bombing something.
Well, all the narratives that he claims the globalists want pushed would be pushed much harder.
Yeah.
If that sort of thing were legitimately possible and there were programs in place
right.
where hundreds and thousands of people are being brain controlled.
Now,
perhaps. Like innocent monkeys in Bastrop.
Exactly. Now, perhaps they're saving that technology until they perfect it.
No.
On Let's stop for a second. Follow me here.
I'm listening.
All right. Where would you keep the perfect, unbelievable thing to mind control?
I don't understand the question as phrased.
Okay. Put them in tanks.
Okay. Oh, fish people.
Fish people.
Okay. All right. Fish people. I get where you're going now.
There we go. Yeah. Fish people.
Totally.
How else do you defeat nuclear submarines?
Fish people.
Exactly.
Here's what we need.
It all comes together now. Mind-controlled fish people with bombs destroy submarines.
I like where you're going, and that's why that was what Alex was talking about years ago. It's because back then they only had fish people, but they've been working on reptilian people.
Oh, they've got reptilian people
now? You need water and land. You need amphibious. Right, you need amphibious people.
That's true.
So they're working on that probably any day now.
I would go with your best bet, though, is for speed, centaur people.
Jesus lizard people.
Jesus lizard people.
They can walk on water.
There we go.
This is fucking stupid. So
I think we got screwed up whenever he started talking about peacocks. Now all I can think about is different.
That's a great
fucking
clip.
Animals.
Yeah. So this next clip, he minimizes the deaths of the people at that church, very insultingly, and then says something that is so not true about liberals. And it is this awesome thing that he always does, where he pretends there's a conversation he's had with somebody, and then turns them into a demon voice, mm-hmm. and it's pretty fun. It's funny. But at the same time, total bullshit.
Hundreds of thousands of people die here in auto accidents, but they're not hyping it as the end of the world. But mass shootings, boy, they get hyped like it's the end of the world. And it is very sad. You can personalize it, a cold-blooded killer sitting there for an hour with people.
Don't fear the
before
Reaper.
He starts exterminating them.
That's your song.
And the media
that's
is going to play on that.
That's your mass shooting song. Don't fear
humanizing
the fucking Reaper.
What
Thanks.
Happened
Thanks. Be
to cause as much pain
notes.
As possible. Well, the folks are dead. It's not going to bring them back. Humanizing babies,
they
though, will get people to stop killing their kids. I don't care what color they are. And that's the real litmus test. Every so-called liberal I've talked to that's pro-abortion will then, when the camera isn't on, go, nobody wants these poor black people. You going to take care of them? Including blacks. Reverend Childress is joining us. And I just don't get how I'm supposed to get all sad and freak out about 9 dead people. I mean, I don't like it, but I'm really upset about how they're going to create racial division.
Fuck you.
Alex is missing the point
and creating.
Fuck you,
Alex Jones.
He's embodying
so much
the creation of racial division.
Every single word that he says is the worst word ever.
Can you imagine these liberals that he talks to off camera?
Fucking Christ.
Yeah, I just want to kill black people. Bah.
What?
Are you going to take care of these black people? Nobody wants black people.
Bah.
I don't know who he's pretending to talk to, even.
Liberals.
Like, but who? I don't understand.
Liberals.
Who?
We all talk like that.
These are people who have to have been on camera at some point.
Liberals.
So they've got to be famous liberals.
Me.
Talk to Alex Jones and express their actual opinions off camera.
That's the only way I express my opinions.
Off camera to Alex Jones.
You should listen to my opinions off this show. Let me tell you something.
Also, we videotape all of these shows. We just don't show you the video. We're on camera right now. It's
and
just...
we are, I am also constantly in contact with Alex Jones. This whole show is a false flag.
Yeah.
That's what this really is.
Also, we live stream this, but we just don't give anyone the link. It's intentional. It's a lesser magic exercise. Alex is fucking stupid as shit there. He does not understand at all that, like, my experience of the Charleston shooting was great sadness and empathy. And from everything that I experienced with people around me, it was a unifying moment. It was not a fuck whitey kind of moment. It wasn't a white people are evil.
It wasn't until white people started being evil about it that you have to go, oh, white people are evil.
Well, like Alex.
Yeah, like if Alex had just come out and been like, this is a horrible thing, but I don't think it should be used as an excuse to take guns away from people. At the very least, you go, that's a thought.
We understand your position.
If that's what your position is, that's fine.
Yeah.
When you start justifying it by, well, this isn't really a problem because of black people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem because you guys don't care about abortion.
Also, white people are really the victims. Here's two fake examples of past shootings.
Exactly.
That, blah, blah, blah.
Now,
also,
then you're the reason that I think white people are evil. Mm-hmm. It's because of you.
That was, and like I said, it was a unifying moment where I think most people saw it as a call to care and respect about each other more, as opposed to a let's fucking feud.
Right.
And I think that's most of the left experienced it that way.
I keep thinking about this, like the difference between the left and the right and the way we respond to this, to stuff, and why we're being so soundly defeated on all fronts right now.
Yeah.
Is because the left always seeks to empathize, or at least that's one of the hallmarks of being on the left, is the idea of empathizing with even the people who you don't agree with.
Yes.
Like, why are there so many think pieces of like, oh, we went out to Trump country and we wanted to see how they feel about Trump right now as Trump is fucking over their lives.
Yeah.
Like, who gives a shit, right?
It's empathizing and understanding to a fault.
Exactly. We're trying to understand them and to see if there's some way that we can get through to them.
Do you understand that that's why I'm going back to June of 2015? To study Alex Jones from the moment Donald Trump announced his candidacy?
Right.
It's exactly that. I want to understand.
Right.
I want to understand what happened to him.
Right. But if you're on the right, you don't. You don't want to understand it.
No, you want to capitalize. You want to demonize. You want to, and it's not everybody
on the
right.
It's something that you want to use to support yourself. It's something that you want to use to reinforce your black and white belief. Not, you know, like that, but in
black and white isn't true or untrue.
Exactly.
Dichotomy.
The absolutes.
Yeah.
That's what you're always trying to reinforce, that we're good and they're evil.
Yeah.
And so anything that we determine to be evil is so bad that we don't care.
Well, I mean, even think about, like, I think...
Like he just said, I don't know why I'm supposed to care about this.
It's 9 people dead. Who cares?
Yeah. I don't know
why I'm
supposed... Yeah, exactly.
I don't like it, but why do I care?
I don't need to empathize with people.
Well, because
I don't need to know how these people would feel. I don't care.
Because he refuses to take things in their proper context.
Of course.
Because he lacks reading comprehension. He lacks fact integration abilities, those sorts of things. So, as I mentioned, at the top of this episode is an exercise in Alex Jones trying to find his foothold. He's climbing up a mountain, essentially, the mountain that is propped up in front of him. He had no idea that this mountain was coming. it's the world has, put a giant roadblock in his way, and he's got to get over it somehow.
Right.
And so he's trying to figure out, is the argument going to be, this is fake? Is it going to be this guy is crazy? Is it going to be about medication? Is it going to be all of these past, instances? What am I going to do? Fuck. And nothing is really sticking until at the end of the episode, towards the end of the episode, he has Reverend Childress on for, an interview.
And Childress is the Sherpa that lets him climb Mount False Flag.
Exactly. And this clip is long, and we are going to pause whenever you need to. It's about 5 minutes long.
Okay.
But the reason that I kept it as one clip is because it shows a metamorphosis. You can hear Alex figuring it out and being like, this is the plan. This is the plan. And it's something that's really interesting is that, like, he is that adaptable that in the moment he's like, oh, there's the key. There, I got it. I got it. And also, I should note that Jakari Jackson is sitting in at this point, completely silent. He says maybe a couple words, and whenever he starts talking, Alex cuts him off.
Jesus Christ, Alex!
Which might be part of my ongoing study of why Jakari quit. but this is wild. I really think this is revealing.
The trials and travails of Jakari Jackson.
This is done just before the Juneteenth celebrations this weekend.
Ah!
You will have across the nation African-Americans gathering together for Black Pride. A lot of it is basically some of it to blame the established order for our issues and problems. But they're going to be gathering.
I'm going to skip this break. It's too important. I'm sorry. Last break I'm skipping, but please continue. This is bombshell. So everybody gets together, gets motivated, and then is directed by Obama, go after the guns. So all take the tragedy, take all the pain, the whole history of abuse, and then fuse it in as a weapon of anti-gun. It's genius. It's perfect timing.
Yeah. Well, yes, I hate to say it's evil genius, but it's genius because you have some of these speakers at these rallies that are basically, let's face it, I'm an African-American. They hate America. and they will take this. This will be the topic of every speech in every celebration across America.
That's right.
This weekend.
Wow, you really tied it all together. Last night, I've been talking about it. I've been having an ominous bad feeling.
I'm sorry. I've been saying that since yesterday on air.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while.
And I said I think it could be race war because I can see all this hype. And by race war, I mean get everybody, you know, idiots, white and black, killing each other. Won't be like a general, like everybody kills each other. Me and Jakari, you know, go get in a fist fight. But they're hyping this discord, hyping this manipulation. And I was on the Red Guard website, Facebook, and I was looking at their LA chapter and their Oregon chapter. And it was like, the time's coming. The only good pig's a dead pig. We're warming up. We're getting ready. And then I learned they're foundation funded. They got professors handling them. And they're really coming out of dry ice, activating everywhere.
That idea of, so that's kind of brilliant there. Mm. That they've got professors handling them.
Yeah.
Because that ties all of it together. It's not, look, it's again, it's the elites. It's the elites manipulating all of these people.
Well, that even goes back to John Rappaport's, colleges are brain institutions.
Exactly. Yeah. All of this stuff of like, there, and it provides him more cover underneath that, like, no, it's not a race situation. These black people would also be on our side if they weren't being funded and manipulated and all of these things. So it's not race. I'm not racist. I am against being manipulated, and these people, we need to wake them up so that we can all come together.
Well,
we need to let them know that their problems have nothing to do with race.
I would be remiss if I didn't point out that what he's talking about is like the Red Guard, and like, these organizations aren't necessarily all black. There's also white people who are being misled by these professors.
Oh, of course.
Because that's something that he thinks is even worse. There's all these.
Well, cause they're traitors to the team.
Well.
Why is it?
He wouldn't put it that way, but it's underneath the surface.
It's always, that's the thing.
These whacked out white people.
That's the thing that always gets me, that they never quite cross that line of understanding, like, hey, this isn't about race, but somehow I'm angrier at white people who aren't supporting me.
Yeah.
Like, don't you for a second think, maybe if I think of these people as traitors, I think of those people as the bad guys.
And conversely, the people who are fighting against them as the good guys.
Exactly.
Which is even more murky. That's even worse.
Yeah. By the idea of you saying, I don't like this more.
Mm-hmm.
That is revealing what it is that you're doing.
Yeah. It shows where your priorities are.
Absolutely.
For sure.
I don't think we should have a race war, but I'm just angrier when my race is against me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good synthesis.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Also, I want to say that I fucking love Jakari Jackson's voice. He has got a great voice. I, like, listening back to these episodes, I'm pissed he's not still around. Dude, he has got a bomb radio voice.
Yeah.
It's so great. And watching him just ambivalently sit there silently while Alex pontificates, great. Because it seems like he wants to be like, well... But he never does.
He doesn't want to be fired.
And that's just a sign, like a fever blister rising up or eczema that you're sick inside. These sores are coming up, and the super hardcore left is like activating right now and getting ready to make their move, and the red flags are coming out. I'm telling you, this summer is going to be big, and if they hype this enough, then racist blacks are going to kill whites. Racist whites are going to kill blacks. Mentally ill people are going to start doing stuff. And they could really kick something off. I'm really concerned.
And it's also 3 weeks away from the NAACP convention in Philadelphia.
Perfect timing.
Where I will be at doing my thing, but we won't talk about that.
Well, Reverend Childers, impart more deep knowledge and discernment on us, because this just makes me nauseated to see us played, whether it was staged or not. Well, they're going to use the crisis to go after the guns and stir everybody up and divert from the anti-human agenda that's particularly aimed at black people from the globalist.
I will clearly say this, and there's not a person in America that could doubt me on this, that if you are going to do something like this, this is the perfect time. People are making their speeches now for what they're going to say Saturday, and some begin on Friday, even all through the weekend. So if you're going to have a theme across America,
Thursday's perfect
to African Americans. This is the day. This is the day we finalize our sermons for the pulpit. this is it. And I'm saying to myself, who is doing this? I don't want to really believe who's doing it, but it's obvious people who are very well endowed, well, you know, situated, and are in a position to profit from it. So I was on the phone this morning when I heard about it and we discussed this ministerially. I said, come on, look at the timing on this. Look at who's doing it. Look, that speech he gave as he left. Will now be being said across America.
And now they admit he was on this amnesiac drug.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's on a literal mind control drug.
This guy doesn't seem that smart to pull it off. I agree with what Reverend Children
It takes said. A lot of will. I don't mean to interrupt. It takes a lot of will to reload and kill nine people in cold blood.
Coming
Sorry.
In with a little bit of...
Just to echo off what he was saying, you know, yeah, he may very well had these tendencies to go out here and do this, but if let's say he was in his white supremacist group or whatever, and he mentions this to people like, well, if you're going to do it, you may try to do it, you know, this week, you know, just.
And they would have a federal handler in there like it at Elohim City, Southern Poverty Law Center, winding everybody up.
Yeah. It's, he made some great points.
Months ago, this was planned. You have a very, very skilled enemy. Months ago, this kid was prepped for this, this week. And there's events going on in Selma this weekend. There's events going on in every major.
And the movies have come out. Everything's been timed. Just like Pearl Harbor came out right before 9/11. And again, I'm not saying the government did 9/11. They allowed it to take place. That's now been basically leaked and declassified. You can see the whole rollout, Reverend Childers. I'm so glad I got you on because you just crystallized it all for me.
Is there? I mean, that was a fucking long clip, and I apologize, but I think it played. It's better if it plays as a whole because, like, you can see his mindset transforming.
Yeah,
entirely from, oh fuck, we figured it out. Here's how we do it. This Reverend Childress has given me a couple pieces of important information that I would have no way of knowing otherwise. He's weaving them into a conspiracy tapestry, and I'm going to put that over my dinner table and make it a set piece.
Right.
I lost myself in
that. I don't know where that metaphor went, but I'm happy with it.
I lost myself in it.
I believe you.
But that's 100% what's going on. The whole rest of the episode, he's been trying to figure out how to make this cohesive, and now he has this interview with the minister who tells him Juneteenth is coming up, and that Thursdays are when you formalize your speeches, for the pulpit on Sunday.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, fuck. And I'll be honest, I mean, Childress is way, he's on board. he's the one who, I'm not saying that he's being manipulated to Alex's agenda. He's on board with it.
I think he's they're spiraling together.
Yes.
Like, each of them is coming at it from a different angle and they're just spinning towards each other like the toilet bowl of lunacy that they're together in.
Well, it's like Childress, threw up an alley-oop for Alex to dunk.
Yeah.
That's basically it. Also, he runs a website called blackgenocide.org.
Man, boy. You just sure can throw genocide into whatever it is you want to say now.
I believe he is also one of, he has a lot of feelings about the abortion being a genocidal thing.
Religion.
So.
What are you gonna do?
I think that is super interesting because you get this sense that, Alex Jones, his brain is always working in terms of trying to figure out how to spin things.
Mm-hmm.
Up till that point, up to the interview, he did the best he could. He brought up these other instances like Timothy McVeigh, Unabomber, Sirhan, and shit. He brought them up and he was doing his best he could, but he couldn't quite figure out how to make it like this instance. Why? What is going on other than the idea of creating a race war,
right,
which is what Dylann Roof said he wanted to do?
Right.
So that would just be like, oh no, that's a racist who's trying to.
Well, the fascinating thing about his bringing up all of those other things is that they were all uniformly right-wing terror attacks.
But what about Sirhan Sirhan?
Okay,
that
fine.
Kind of bends.
I'll give him that.
And even the Aurora shooter is more just a crazy person. That didn't have political leanings necessarily, I don't think.
It didn't?
I don't think so.
I think it was sold as a Batman thing, but if I recall, well, maybe it was just he was, you know what? You might be right. He was just trying to kill as many people as he could. So yeah. he chose that theater not because of the Batman thing, but because he wanted to murder people.
But then he played it up.
Yeah.
He played up the theme of the murder he was going
to
carry out.
The Joker and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But The point that I want to make stands is that
Ruby Ridge
with that
Waco,
you have the luxury of the general consciousness of thinking of those not as right wing terror attacks. Those are not the same thing as the way that we think about any kind of mass shooting with a Muslim involved with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a terror attack. White people can pull these right-wing terror attacks, which are the most common form of terrorism in the United States. White people doing right-wing murders.
Yeah.
That's the most common form of terrorism.
Happens a bit.
And even though he brings up these very similar right-wing terror attacks, you don't associate the two together. Because he gets to pull this stuff on Dylann Roof as being a guy trying to incite a race war. A guy trying to do all of these other things, a possible false flag, all of this shit. But it's never then brought back to the fact that it is the same right-wing terrorism as a Timothy McVeigh.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same bullshit. But the luxury of white people murdering is you get to treat each one as if it's individual.
Right. That is privilege.
I think that's the point that I'm trying to make. It took a long way to get there.
That's privilege to a certain extent, but I also think I slightly disagree with you.
Okay.
Just in the sense that I don't think Dylann Roof had evolved political leanings. I think he, from everything that I've read about him, was just, a radicalized bigot. Like, I think he was just...
How does that not have political leanings?
It does, but not in the same way as Timothy McVeigh. Like, Timothy McVeigh was wrong about a lot of stuff.
Right.
But most of what motivated him was a feeling that most of the work of the government was oppressive to the individual.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. To me, that has... Maybe it's just because it directly involves the government... It
as opposed to just a race.
Right.
That, so
that
to
seems
you,
to
it's
be
different
more cultural.
than like a KKK kind of situation.
Right. Well,
which is more along the lines of what Dylann Roof was.
But the KKK had political leanings themselves, so.
Exactly.
But
I don't see any way that you can kill a specific, if you can go into a black church and kill those people without having all of the political connotations that it is involved with.
Let me defend myself slightly on my disagreement with you.
Okay.
I think that was second stage in his motivations. Because he wanted to start a race war, but the reason he wanted to
he wanted to get fucked and he couldn't, so then he started a race war.
Third stage.
That's what we all know.
Third stage. Wanted to get fucked, then couldn't, had to start a race war.
Right.
But the third step beyond that is to reform the government that should be oppressing blacks more, or whatever, in his conception.
Yeah.
But that's secondary to his actual motivations, which were culturally racist.
Right.
Whereas with Timothy McVeigh, I sincerely believe, from everything I understand, his primary motivations were against directly the state of the government. And so...
Yeah,
not,
but see,
I'm
here's,
making,
here's
I'm making,
again...
I'm making a
here's
very
again,
small point.
But it's, the point that I'm making is exactly that.
Okay.
You are looking into these things specifically enough to find the differences between them. Now... You go to a news story today, a Muslim person kills Christians, or a Muslim person blows up a mall for capitalism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are those going to be researched thoroughly, or are they both going to be tied to, you know, Islamic terrorism?
Well, now you're talking about sort of reporting as a whole. I would look at them differently. Certainly, in the same way that I'm looking at these two differently.
That is, yes.
But culturally, you're right. They
that
would
is,
be
that is my
same.
Point. Yeah. Like, yes, of course you would because I would.
Yeah.
In the same way. But the point is, in the larger consciousness, they would be lumped together, whereas these two are not.
Totally. So now at the,
That took a long time to get to. I feel like that's my fault.
No, it's not. It's both of our fault. Because we have a slight disagreement, but mostly agreement. But let's now. Take a moment to eat some parsley, because we're done with the Charleston portion of the show.
All right. Thank God.
Charleston will come up again in a future episode.
God damn it.
Sorry. But for now, for the rest of this episode, we're done with it. And to cleanse our palate, I have a clip here.
We're just going to listen to owls murder peacocks for about 20 minutes.
Nope. This is a clip of Alex talking about some of his run-ins with cops.
Yes!
That I...
Now I'm back on board!
I don't think...
Edit out the prior hour and 45 minutes of this show. I just want to listen to this.
I don't think he's telling the truth about any of this, but here we go.
I mean, I've been to jail for protesting and had him in the Travis County jail for no reason. Didn't smart off nothing. Run my head in the wall, give me a little bruise. Wasn't that hard. And then the jail
they
guard's like,
bruise
you
want to
do
hard.
Something?
Go ahead. I'm too much of a man.
I have the New York police, when they arrest me for protesting, take my handcuffs off in the jail bay, five cops, and go, you want to do something? Go ahead and make a swing and then sit there and start talking trash to me. And I was like, are you kidding? I said, are you really about to attack me and say I attacked you? I said, whatever.
He watched the show Oz.
No, I think it's that scene with Bird from The Wire.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I think because...
You're right.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Yeah. But anyway...
He cannot tell the difference between truth and fantasy.
The clip is not done. He has more stuff to say, but at the same time, it's like, that didn't happen.
No, of course that didn't happen. Well, that's a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Or that's literally The Wire.
Yeah.
Then they had some guy come up and taunt me in the jail cell.
You got a small dick, Alex.
And I'm not even going to go into that. The point is, it wasn't because I was, most of them were white in that precinct and I was white.
White.
You got some mentally ill jerks who want power, who get in there, and instead of running them out of the departments, they're trying to put them in departments in many cities. But
if I
is
take
that
dick,
a
Alex,
racial
I'll
issue?
Get your power.
Maybe there's a stereotype that black people commit more crimes because of the type of crime and what's happened to those cultures. In some
maybe.
Areas, that's true. But, and there's probably some racism too. But in the final equation.
A little bit.
Having a war with the police is about bringing in chaos. So.
No one wants a war with the police.
No. Nobody does.
No. Even militant groups don't want a war with the police.
No.
That is what no one wants.
That is, and it goes back again. If you push people far enough, they will think this is the only option I have.
Sure.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Nobody wants this. What people want is justice.
Yeah.
If that fucking murderer who killed Terrence, who killed Terrence, if she went to prison for life, nobody would be like, oh my God, now we have to get all the cops. People would be celebrating because they would feel like, fuck, we can trust the justice system a little bit more.
Yeah.
That would be the celebration. It wouldn't be that this bitch goes to jail.
No.
It would be that, thankfully, we can finally trust the justice system a little bit more.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to kill cops, but people really don't want to be killed by cops.
Yeah. Yep.
God.
And that's the nuance that's lacking in Alex Jones' understanding of the world. But
so many people's understanding of the world.
Now we get to the next phase of this June 18th episode in 2015. As I mentioned, the reason that I went back here, and I had forgotten that Trump's announcement and the Charleston shooting were so close together.
I had forgotten that as well.
So that was a real surprise to me, and it's just something that I knew we needed to cover if we were going to be talking about this.
God, that's one of those things where you look back on it and you're like, oh, is that like the demon sacrifice that launched Trump into the fucking atmosphere?
Well, I mean, think about it. He announced his candidacy on the 16th, and then on the 17th was the Charleston shooting, and also on the 17th was when he said that comment about
the Mexicans. Yeah,
they're bringing their rapists. I'm sure some of them are. Some of the people are good people.
Right.
That I'm paraphrasing. But
God, how did the, oh
so
fuck America?
The reason that I
fuck all of
the
you.
Reason that I embarked on this
and me.
Exploration and analysis is because I wanted to know where down the line Alex decided to support Trump.
Right.
And that is my primary focus in this investigation. I will find the exact day.
Uh huh.
And then we will understand maybe a little more, probably not, but I'm gonna try.
You will find the exact day. You will also write the date and shit on your wall.
Probably.
You will have lost your mind.
It'll be blood.
I will have Navy people take you out of here and put you into a white van.
Yeah. Then I'll be like, I got a chip. So
then the show will be very pro Alex Jones somehow.
You're going to show up. My toilet's going to be full of concrete. It's going to be crazy. So what I did find in this episode, which, like I said, is 2 days after Trump has announced his candidacy.
Uh-huh.
He ends the show with an interview with a guy named Larry Nichols. Are you aware of Larry Nichols at all?
I recall the name. I don't know the dude.
Larry is a Clinton insider.
Oh, fuck me.
Who?
I'm already, all right. Let's do this. I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna buckle into my chair, and we're gonna fucking make it through Clinton insider bullshit. Let's go.
Alex Jones has interviewed him, as Alex says, maybe 20 to 30 times over the years, but hasn't been on in a long time because the threat of the Clintons hasn't existed.
Right.
The reason that I think that this interview is incredibly important is because his support of Trump is clearly based on a hatred of Hillary. And
well, that was, yeah.
But we can.
That was large scale support for Trump.
But we can crystallize that based on the fact that Trump has announced his candidacy 2 days before this. He has no interest in him.
Right.
He has not mentioned him at all.
Right.
Now he has.
At this point, even to Alex, Trump is still a joke.
And in the same way that that interview with Reverend Childress was transformational in Alex's being able to call it a false flag, this interview with Larry Nichols, I believe, is fully transformative and sets the stage for Alex accepting Trump as a potential candidate.
Really?
This interview is incredibly fucked up.
Okay.
And really scary. And once I break down to you throughout the course of this, just who Larry Nichols is, it's going to become even worse. I'm going to let the first clip play, and you can see the beginnings of the interview, what this guy is all about.
We know bad stuff's coming. What do you see happening?
Well, it's exactly what you and I had talked about years ago. Thankfully, thanks to you and other programs, we stopped it. You know, Bill was using, if you'll recall, Alex, Jesse Jackson. Remember, Jesse Jackson was supposed to start riots in 5 major cities. And then Bill Clinton would, of course, have to declare martial law. And once they get the provisional government rule in, then they get to be king forever.
The fuck are you talking
about? We stopped it by making it public. Well, now we've got problems. They're festering it up. And no, you are so right. It's not about race, Alex. I mean, yeah, there's the underpinning of race. The folks, all of this that's going on is about power. Power. And the Clintons absorb power like we take in sunshine. Now, the thing that's going on today, you have to be so careful, so very careful, because at any time, you know, they're going to start tit for tat. Well, you kill some black guys, somebody kills some white guys kill some more black guys. And then you end up in this total chaos, and when that happens, all bets are off. And whoever is sitting, folks, whoever is in power, when this thing collapses, they become king or queen.
Yeah, so that's sort of his introduction.
So that is like, whoever's in power gets to become king or queen is like, hey, finally, Trump is in power, and he gets to become king.
Well, it's not yet. That's not their conception
also,
yet.
Also, I am
Larry Nichols-
sick of white people with southern accents telling me it's not about race.
It's not about race, y'all. It's bad optics.
Guys, come on.
Yeah.
You have a southern accent. At the very least, hide it better.
Boy, howdy, I tell you, it's not about race.
It ain't about race around here.
Foghorn Leghorn telling you it's not about
Jesus
the chicken
Christ.
Hawk.
It's always the people who fucking want that race war so much who say, oh, well, it's going to start the tit for tat.
Yeah.
Then we're going to be justified. It's just going to start the war, and it's just going to go back and forth, and then it's going to be, hey, we don't have a choice.
And
we don't have a choice.
And the way they always present it is blacks do something and then whites have to respond.
It's a retaliation.
It's never about the systematic racism that's going on
uh-uh.
that
nope.
causes black people to mostly legitimately just protest.
That causes that shit. Yeah.
It doesn't cause murders, but it causes essentially protest.
Nobody is fucking protesting because shit is going so great.
Yeah. And no one's protesting because they want freebies or some shit.
No.
So I agree with you. Larry is bad optics in terms
of
his accent.
Larry is bad. I'm not a big fan of Larry so far.
So I cut out a bunch of shit because it was nonsense and it's just about like Vince Foster getting
murdered. Or Mr. Nichols if you're racist.
Or if you're nasty. there's a bunch of shit that I cut out about like Vince Foster's murder.
Right.
And how Larry Nichols along with,
I think that's one thing that we do need to stop. We need to stop calling it Vince Foster's murder.
Right. Sorry.
See, do you see how you get that? You get that narrative. You're already on the defensive by calling it Vince Foster's murder.
I should have called it his death.
We're talking about Vince Foster's suicide.
Vince Foster's very suspicious suicide.
His not suspicious at all suicide.
It is a little weird.
It is a little weird. In the same way that the Fox News fucks are making that one dude
Seth Rich.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say his name because fuck you if you think that matters.
Yeah.
But it's the same way that once you frame the conversation that way, now, before I even start talking to you, I'm on the defensive.
Well, the only difference is that Vince Foster did kill himself, and Seth Rich was murdered.
Yeah, so it's not Vince Foster's murder,
but Seth Rich was murdered.
It's Vince Foster's suicide. Seth Rich was murdered, I agree.
So it's a little different. It's just they're contextualizing his actual murder in a bad way, as opposed to
inventing a murder whole cloth.
Yes.
But it's still that same conspiracy bent of, it was a murder because of this.
Right. What's more important is that Larry is coming on the show, and he has a very specific message for Alex. And it's incredibly fucked up, and I think you can see it if you watch the video of this episode. You can see Alex start to get it. You can see the pieces and the cogs in his brain start to move, and this clip is really where it, like, you can just see it in his face.
Okay.
Like, I'm starting to get it. I am a savior. I am the savior of the world.
So you think this is a full-on Jesus complex thing that's being developed over time?
Listen to this clip and tell me I'm wrong.
Okay.
But remember, these people have certain goals they want, and they're going to get them. And the reason Alex, I think, can testify to it, because I told him years ago, 20-something years ago, of the goals that they were going to accomplish. And here they are.
Oh, it's just some down-home country racism.
It's not.
Break down some of their goals, what they want, who they work for, where they're going.
Well, right now, what they want is to get absolute control of government. Because once you control government, you make the rules. The next thing they want to do, they want to move us into full-bore communism. Kind of tickled. It's not funny, but here you got old Bernie Sanders, a socialist running against Hillary. Nobody will tell the truth. You got a socialist against a communist.
Good old Bernie Sanders.
They want us to become a communist society. Then they want to take the Middle East. Why? Because if you can destabilize the Middle East, Alex, now the Clintons knew this 20 years ago. If you can destabilize the Middle East, you know what you do?
That's a tough goal to accomplish. Tough to destabilize the Middle East. Boy, that one's a hard sell.
Let's pause there for a second.
I don't know if you can sell. I don't know if you could destabilize the Middle East. That's the goal you're going for. Jesus Christ.
Can't quite figure out how to achieve that goal.
Has Trump brought peace to the Middle East yet to defend the Russian narrative?
We're recording this over the weekend. He's on his trip, and at press time, he has still not delivered his speech about Islam.
He's still not delivered.
Probably cause a world war.
God.
Stephen Miller is writing that speech. That's insane.
Nothing is real. Nothing is real.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah.
We hate Muslims, but this speech is going to bring us all together.
Yeah.
Thanks to Stephen Miller, noted race baiting Muslim hater.
So, I mean, destabilizing the Middle East, that's their end goal. Congratulations. you can just do nothing.
You guys, before you even started, you did a great job.
Before America was even like a kernel of an idea
in
people's minds, the Middle East was in trouble. Like, in the Bible, it's in trouble. So, like, that...
In the Quran, it's in trouble.
Yeah. So, that's weird. But now, the end of this clip gets to my point about Alex. And his supposed place in the world.
Gotcha.
And so all of of this is moving that away. And Hillary, may I make a prediction? Number one, Jeb Bush going to be the Republican nomination for president for the Republicans, and Hillary going to be the next president, unless, Alex, you, buddy, get on a bolt of lightning and somehow can get the Tea Party to rise up together and stop it.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So you see there.
That was the call to action for our hero. Only, this was our hero's journey right
only
there.
Only you.
That was the call to action.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, this is some Joseph Campbell straight out of the fucking Central Casting kind of shit.
So now it's time to talk about Larry Nichols. Who is this twangly voiced old man on the phone?
This fucking just personification of old white southern privileged white dude.
He presents himself as someone who was with Bill Clinton from the beginning, from before he was ever in office.
Right. So he's Arkansasian.
He is.
Okay.
But the reality is that there's no evidence that his relationship with Bill Clinton predates Bill Clinton being governor.
Okay.
Of Arkansas. He was hired by Bill Clinton when he was governor in 1988. He was hired as the marketing director for the Arkansas Development Finance Authority. The Associated Press reported that he made 642 long-distance calls on state expense on behalf of the Contras in Nicaragua.
Jesus, dude.
These calls were...
For real!
These calls were made to Nicaragua...
For real!
And... to senators and politicians who supported the Contras.
For real.
For real.
Jesus Christ, dude. 642
calls that are easily traced. Because of this, Clinton fired him.
Oh.
Yeah. So he got fired. Immediately.
Insider.
Nichols.
Insider.
Nichols sued.
He got fired for being too close to the truth.
Making too many close phone calls.
Vince Foster.
So Nichols sued Clinton for improper dismissal. And used this as a platform to smear Clinton during his 1990 re-election campaign. Much of what we know now as the Clinton conspiracies come directly from Larry Nichols. Almost all of it.
Really? The Vince Foster, the...
Yep. The idea of the MENA, Arkansas airport, yeah. The drug running that was going through that,
yeah.
That all came from him. He brought forth a bunch of women who Bill was having affairs with, some of them real, some of them not.
Right.
On January...
Yeah, which, before we go any further... Nobody here between the two of you,
no.
Between the two of us is going to say that Bill Clinton is not, at the very least, mostly a rapist.
Yeah, totally.
He's a super rapist.
He's a real bad bro.
He's a real bad bro.
But at the same time, even really terrible people can be the victims of misinformation campaigns.
Yeah.
And I would like Bill Clinton to be responsible for the things that he has done.
I would like him to be held responsible for
that. That's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, the stuff that's not true is absolutely irresponsible.
Right.
And it has poisoned our discourse.
Absolutely.
So on January 25th, 1992, Nichols announced that he was dropping his lawsuit against Bill Clinton. He said, quote,
wonder why.
He said, quote, it is time to call the fight I have with Bill Clinton over. I set out to destroy him for what I believed happened to me. Interesting.
He waged a war and wound up winning.
In the long run, certainly.
Yeah.
So anyway, I want to talk more shit on Larry Nichols.
Yeah, that's right.
So in 2013, Nichols dropped a bombshell on the Pete Santilli show, which is a right-wing radio show.
Pete Santilli, is he still around?
He very calmly admitted that he had murdered people on command for
Wait,
Bill and Hillary
what?
Clinton.
What?
Yeah, he admitted he had committed murders. So hold on. Quote. This is a quote. They sent me overseas to kill people for them and told me it was for the good of the country. So when they asked me to do it for them in the States, it felt no different. The real truth is I did it for the money and I didn't even give a shit about the women I beat and the men I murdered. The Clintons are bad people and I did bad.
Wait, what? Wait, what?
Hold on.
Not what?
Let me finish this
quote.
All
right, all right.
The Clintons are bad people and I did bad things for them. I had to live with that for all these years and I just don't care anymore who knows it. How's that quote grab
you? It sounds like he didn't really have to struggle with that internal problem at all.
He killed a bunch of people.
I killed a bunch of people overseas, so then I did it here and I don't really care. That's a psychopath. That's what a psychopath says.
Yeah, I assume the killing people overseas is like he was in the military. I don't know that to be sure exactly.
So that, but then he said he killed people here too. So it's not, he's,
that's straight up murders.
Yeah, he just murdered. He just murdered and said he didn't care.
But unfortunately.
And then he said, then he was like, oh, I had to live with it. No, clearly you did not.
But this, that was in 2013 on a right-wing radio show. He was interviewed by Mother Jones, in 2015.
Oh!
In April of 2015. And this is a quote.
Odd.
This is a quote from the article. Of the original band of Clinton hunters, only Nichols kept up the ruse, doing interviews with fringe right-wing radio hosts, even boasting in 2013 that he had been Bill's personal hitman, which he now says he didn't mean and wouldn't have said if he hadn't been on painkillers.
Oh, Vicodin. Who among us has not taken a few Vicodin and then admitted to murder? What? Look. He who is without Vicodin cast the first stone.
He That's without really sin cast the first pill. What an asshole, right?
What a dick!
What a stupid asshole.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. The fact that you can just walk that shit back is so infuriating.
Best case scenario, he is a murderer who has a pill problem and then doubles back on it and pretends, oh, God, I didn't mean to say that. But worst case scenario, which is the most realistic scenario, he's a complete liar and a drug addict.
Inveterate, doesn't give a shit, psychopath.
Who was fired by Bill Clinton, got really mad at him, and started...
trying to ruin his life.
And because everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people hate him, and hate liberalism, and hate Hillary Clinton with a fiery passion, because they hate women, because of that, they glom on to these theories. And they're like, oh no, all this shit is true. Vince Foster, Mina, all this, and it's all coming from this asshole. I want to say a few more things.
Tell me a few more things.
So I read this entire Mother Jones article.
I'm never going to speak in this voice again.
This article was from April 2015.
Okay.
Which, if you're keeping track, is 2 months before the episode of Alex Jones's show that we're listening to.
I am keeping track.
The things that we've heard him say on Alex Jones's show up till this point have been pretty harshly anti-Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
Very much about how they're going to destroy the world.
It's him keeping up the ruse.
And a couple of the other clips that I'm going to play later really bring into focus how he thinks that Hillary Clinton is going to destroy the world. Now, in this April 2015 article.
A few months before.
Here is a quote. This is just a direct quote from the article. But something strange has come over, Larry. After 6 years of watching Barack Hussein Obama cower in the face of Islamists, Nichols believes the family he spent 2 decades tarring as cold-blooded crooks might just be the only people who can save the country.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Quote, I'm not saying I like Hillary. You hear me? He said defensively. I'm not saying I like Hillary Rodham Clinton. I'm not saying anything I've said I take back. But God help me, I'm going to have to stand up and tell conservative patriots we have no choice but to give Hillary her shot. Quote, I know she won't flinch, he continued. That's a mean son of a bitch woman that can be laying over 4 people and say, he paraphrased her now infamous response to hostile congressional questioning on the deaths of 4 Americans in Libya, what the hell difference does it make? He was against Clinton because of Whitewater. He's now voting for her because of Benghazi. Because she was so cold-blooded about Benghazi, he thinks she'll be able to take out Muslims. This is a farce. This
God
is complete insanity. 2 months before, he's spouting this bullshit in a publication.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
This is the Thin Man with Nick and Nora. This is just fucking ridiculous.
It's through the looking glass propaganda. It's, we're not even-
These guys will just say- anything.
Yeah.
They'll just say whatever's politically expedient, whatever, like, it's the mark of a psychopath. I shouldn't bring psychopath into it because that's a very specific diagnosis.
And it's a record label.
Yes.
With the Juggalos.
It is this type of opportunist that seems to have no conscience.
No, not
conscience,
at all.
Who will just, like, if you're getting any press, say whatever it is you think the press wants to hear. To bring a positive light to you.
Or an interesting light.
Yeah.
Even if it's not positive.
Right.
Because this Mother Jones reporter can fully document that he went on this show and said that he was Clinton's hitman. And then he said, I was on pills.
Right.
I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not even a positive light. It's just, hey, how do I sell my personal brand?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just want you to talk about me. And so I'm going to do whatever it is that makes you talk about me better.
And I fully don't think that the Clintons are great. I think they have a whole lot of problems. And we have said this even on the show, Bill Clinton deserves to be charged for war crimes.
Absolutely.
As all of our presidents for the last maybe 40 years all do.
At least.
But at the same time, he doesn't deserve the tarring that he's gotten because of all of these fake shit.
It's the tarring because of the fake shit.
And Hillary gets it way worse.
Of course.
Because she's a woman and because she's relevant. This Bill's not relevant anymore.
Right.
He can't become president again. He's kind of a neutral threat. And well, now Hillary is the one, and in the 2016 election, she was basically the one who had to take all the brunt for all of these conspiracies that mostly had to do with Bill.
Right.
And most of them come from Larry Nichols.
Of course. Well, the fascinating thing is...
Perfect InfoWars guest.
The fascinating thing is that part of the reason that you invent so much fake shit is because most of the real shit that you would complain about Hillary, like part of the reason that you have to invent these emails, part of the reason that you have to invent Vince Foster is because the real stuff that you and I disliked about her, that stuff that your guy is guilty of.
True.
The stuff that I disliked about Hillary, the super predator stuff, the racism stuff, mm-hmm. All of this stuff, that or just the accepting hundreds of thousands of dollars to speak for Goldman Sachs, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
That is stuff that I dislike because it is a legitimate criticism. And if you're on the right and you dislike that stuff, that is a legitimate criticism.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to invent fake shit to hate her because your guy did all of that and more.
You have to find ways around logical consistency.
Yeah.
And the only way to do that is to say, like, look, they all did that.
Yeah.
But these Clintons did worse.
Yeah. It's not bad that, you know, Hillary took millions of dollars from yada, yada, yada.
She sold the uranium to Russia.
Yeah. Trump did the same thing, but Trump didn't kill Vince Foster.
Didn't.
So it's that extra thing. Because if you just criticize Hillary for the reasons that she should be criticized, your guy doesn't look as good.
No.
He doesn't look as good.
Kind of falls apart.
It does.
So let's get back to the clips. Because like in that last one that we played before we laid out Larry Nichols, he had said, Alex, you
are our savior.
You have to do this.
If it isn't for you mobilizing the Tea Party.
Yeah.
All of the patriots will die.
And the rest of this just becomes a save me, Obi-Wan, you're our only hope kind of thing. It's like, I really think that this is foundational.
Now here's
this is a moment where Alex he gets it.
Okay, I'm going to listen to this clip and then I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay, here's the next one. This is Larry Nichols explaining that everything comes down to this 2016 election.
All she's got to do is the other thing that we learned and we used every day, Alex. How do you win an election? Number one, you control your opposition. Hillary and her power players are controlling the RNC, and they're making sure somebody like Jeb Bush on Earth is going to be the nominee, somebody that cannot beat him, somebody that cannot possibly activate the conservatives in this country and get them so excited they'll come out and vote.
The fix is in.
The fix is in. Yep. Now, not to mention, good heavens, folks, you ain't never even seen anybody that's rigged as many voting machines as I have.
Boy, you ain't never seen nobody like this.
That has ever had as many dead people make contributions and vote as I have.
Ugh.
This is coming for you. This is coming for this country. This is coming, Alex, for your children. That's why, by God, you got to fight. My grandbabies, that's why I got to do what I don't want to do. I'm 65 years old. I want to sit out in a pasture somewhere and say, hey, I've been
do
in
it.
Nicaragua, every hellhole in the world.
Die.
I'm done. I'm
done.
But you're not going.
Die alone.
I know maybe y'all think this is hyper sensationalism, but you better listen to me. You're not going to have a country when this thing is done, and this thing is going to be in the next election. There won't be another election, Alex, although it'll happen. You know, hey, they got elections in Cuba, don't they? But they're not free. They're not fair. Either vote for who they say, I will kill you.
So that's his sort of take on what will happen if Hillary wins.
God, it's too similar to what happened when Trump won.
Well,
here's the thing. Here's the thing that did happen today. In Iran, the Reformist Party destroyed the conservatives. Just murdered them. And it was projected to be a close election. What they found out was that young people came out and voted in droves to make sure that Iran opened up. Like, they wanted an Iran similar to pre-1980s.
Well, and Russia didn't think they needed to influence that campaign
at all. Sure didn't seem like that. Well, we'll see what Khomeini has to say about everything. But that is the interesting thing there, is that there is that sliver of hope right now saying that the 2018 elections will be free and fair.
We hope.
But there is no part of cynical me that doesn't think gerrymandering has only gotten stronger.
Yeah.
And they will still retain power no matter what. Regardless of whether or not it's, we're going to kill you at the ballot box, it's more just like, nope, you're not allowed to vote.
We're going to redistrict this very strategically and figure out exactly how to make sure our party stays in power. And let's be totally clear. It's something that in some ways both parties are very guilty of. But if you look at the history,
money.
The conservative Republicans have been way more guilty.
Of course.
But both parties do it to some extent.
Of course.
So, and.
Well, here's my question.
This is the bottom line.
Yes.
And this is another important thing that needs to be said.
Yeah.
Neither of us are lovers of Democrats.
No.
We just hate the state of the Republic.
I'm not going to say we, because as much as our politics overlap, I know there are plenty of things that I believe that maybe you don't want to sign off on.
I might privately.
Exactly. But to me, it is that the Democratic Party too often allows themselves to be drawn further right as the right goes further right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you that window.
Yeah. Rather than fight even hard, like in the tug of war, they get closer and closer to the middle and think that's fine.
Yeah, but that's exactly that same thing about, you know, the left trying to be overly empathic.
Well, I think it's more like not with the left. I mean, with the Democrats, with the Democratic Party, there is the idea of pragmatism as being more important, to anything, as opposed to, and it becomes a twisted and warped version of pragmatism.
Mm.
Like that nationalistic, you know, disenfranchised vote, that whole thing, like, there's a reason that Bernie captured a lot of those people.
Totally.
Because we were primed for that kind of, hey, we've been fucked over.
Yeah.
And you've helped us fuck people over.
Yeah.
Or you've helped us get fucked over.
Yep.
Like all of those things. If you had actually laid out a progressive vision, just like the Obamacare provisions that people keep, like, so long as you don't put it next to Obamacare, a majority of people say, yes, pre-existing conditions should be covered.
I like the things. I hate the name.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you lay out that actual progressive vision, it's far more pragmatic to getting you elected than this imaginary idea of what's pragmatic.
Agreed.
And so that's why we have such a huge disconnect with the Democratic Party, or perhaps the Democratic leadership.
I think you're correct.
All righty. So here's the question.
What's up?
Okay. Nichols, you think, is that kind of like germ that starts in Alex.
I think he's the old Jedi who's coming and saying, you have a mission, son.
You're the one who has, you're helping Obi-Wan, you're my whole new hope, right?
I honestly think it's in the next clip I'm going to play, but it's a message that's like, you thought your work is done.
Okay.
It's not done.
Well, here's my question. Do you think Nichols knows how influential Alex is? Is
yes.
he just throwing darts at the wall, saying this to anybody who may be influential? Or is he just jerking Alex off to be on his show?
No. I think Alex considers him to be a luminary. Because Alex does...
No, I mean Nichols. What does Nichols see Alex as?
No. I understand. I only explained the dynamic from the other direction.
Right.
To express that I think that Nichols knows he's big dog, to Alex in terms of credibility.
Okay.
But at the same time, he absolutely knows that Alex has a huge platform.
Okay.
I'm sure, like, he went on that other guy's show and said that he was a fucking killer when he was on pills. So he'll go on anybody's show.
Right.
But he clearly, as Alex and him discussed, have a decades-long relationship. He knows. He's watched InfoWars grow to the point that it is.
Yeah.
He's not just saying this as...
But maybe the better distillation of my question is, do you think he's trying to use Alex, or do you think he's actually, do you think he actually believes this? So
boy.
Like, is he jerking Alex off in an attempt to know, in an attempt to be like, now I can manipulate Alex's followers? Or is he saying, Alex, you really do have this influence and I believe in you, that kind of a thing?
This is something that only his therapist could probably answer. If he has a therapist, I don't think he does. But
well, we all know therapists are evil brainwashers.
Totally.
Yeah.
They're globalists.
They'll give you vaccines.
Disguise. Yeah. Those therapist vaccines.
Therapist vaccines.
The reason that I answer that ambivalently is because we look at his history. Like I said, he sued Bill Clinton and then said, I dropped the lawsuit because I wanted to destroy him for what I believed happened to me.
Right.
He claimed to be a hitman and then later was like, I was just on pills.
Right.
So who knows where his actual center is? Larry is a person who lacks credibility because he's clearly lied in public and on conservative radio shows in the past.
Right.
I would say...
And lied about lying on those shows.
Absolutely. I would say that here's why it's difficult. 4 months before this, or 3 months before this,
uh-huh,
he did that interview where he said, we've got to give Hillary a chance. She might be able to destroy these Muslims.
Yeah.
So who knows where his fucking head is at? I think he might still be on pills, quite frankly. I have no idea.
Maybe he's found some better. Do we know where he's at now?
No, I have no idea.
But I wonder if he's found better pills.
He's not dead. I do know that.
Ah,
but like that
bummer.
That quick contradiction of a couple months, just 100% contradiction. I have no idea what he really means. But I glean from the interview that he respects Alex Jones's audience in as much as they can possibly help him work towards his decades-long goal of destroying the Clintons.
Okay.
And I think that's where he's coming from.
You think he's still on that tip?
Yes.
Okay.
So
even though he said in that previous interview, we should give Hillary a chance, he's still going on Alex Jones with that kind of in the back of his head, like, fuck the Clintons.
Well, here's the only reason I'm going to give him a little bit of a wide berth about that. Supporting Hillary in the interview.
Right.
The reason he supported her in that interview is that he believes that she's cutthroat, cold-blooded, and could destroy these Islamists.
Right.
That he seems to be afraid of now.
Which she may have been.
Well, but if that is his rationalization for, in that interview, supporting Hillary.
Yeah.
It still does kind of match up philosophically with what he's saying in this interview, where he's saying that, like, they're going to try and get Jeb Bush in. If there was an alternative that was the person who was going to be cutthroat with these Islamists that he imagines, I think he would be on their side as opposed to Hillary.
Trump.
If Trump had existed as a logical counterexample on June 18th, which he doesn't.
Exactly.
So that, like, that part doesn't seem to me to be a logical contradiction.
I can see that.
It does discredit Larry Nichols a bit.
Yeah.
But only in so much as it's like, okay, you are just really afraid of Muslims.
Ideologically, he just wants somebody who hates Muslims.
Yes.
So it would make sense for him to support anybody who he thinks is going to accomplish the goal of fucking over Muslims.
And at the same time, he will accept a deal with the devil because he does believe that the Clintons are the devil.
Yeah.
In order to
accomplish that goal.
Fight a non-white devil.
Yeah.
He would be like, I'd rather deal with these white people I really hate.
Which we all know.
Yeah.
So, a non-white devil in the bush is better than two non-white devils in the hand. I have no idea.
That's from the Farmer's Almanac. So, like, I'm going to play the rest of these clips because I really think, I mean, most of them are just reinforcing this. Alex Jones is getting his, like, booster shot of, yeah, I have to save the world.
Yeah.
And you can see it in his face. In as much as he barely interrupts Larry, Larry just gets a fucking free berth to talk, whereas he interrupts everybody else.
The only way you get a free berth to talk is if you are sucking Alex Jones's Jesus complex dick.
Well, he already said, you're the one who can save us.
You are the one.
I think I cut it out earlier, but he, Larry Nichols says, you're the only reason I'm alive.
Oh, boy.
Because I came on your show years ago, and I made it public, and otherwise the Clintons would have killed me.
Right. Otherwise I would have been Vince Foster 2.0.
I hide in the sunlight.
Yes.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so he's playing into Alex's worst impulses.
Right.
And anyway, this next clip is actually philosophically very inconsistent and dumb. But he's trying to express basically the idea of, like, could you imagine this scenario 20 years ago? That's sort of his premise.
Yeah.
And I'll let him play it out. And because it's a couple months later, we can just sort
of... Well, the answer for all of us is no.
But also we can be like, oh, man, come on.
Can you imagine, man, 20 years ago telling a reporter that's been dedicated or put in the pool, reporters, that they can't attend the event by a presidential nominee?
Oh,
are you kidding me? No. 20 years ago, Alex, could you believe somebody could run for president of the United States? And, oh, gee, for 3 or 4 months, I'm not going to even talk, answer any questions from anyone.
So that's problematic for that. But again, he's not supporting Trump at this point.
I don't even know what to do with that anymore. Because that exact situation. Because just like with everything Trump does now, you can pull a tweet from 2014 where he says, do the exact opposite.
Yeah, like he's a wizard.
I mean,
wizard.
It's literally everything.
Yeah.
It's bananas.
Yeah.
So there's no... Like, hypocrisy is no longer an argument.
No, but I want to be clear. It's not really about hypocrisy. This thing that I find really fascinating about this interview is that it lays the foundation for Alex realizing he has to save the world.
To me, listening to this right now, it really does crystallize the fact, and it can no longer be speculation. It is the fact that there are separate realities now.
Totally.
Complete full breaks between reality.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no bridging those gaps anymore.
Probably
because
not.
These guys live in a completely separate reality. Mm-hmm. That idea of, like, well, when Clinton does it, it's evil. Even though Trump is doing it, he's not really doing it. It was only evil if Clinton did it. It's not really evil if Trump does it. If Trump does it, it's because it's in service to this larger thing, which means that it doesn't matter what he's doing so long as it's in service to this larger thing. But Clinton was doing what Trump is doing, but in service to this other, like, complete breakdown.
And now we get to this idea of separate realities is really interesting because we get to this, like, the people who are listening to Alex Jones do live in a separate reality.
Completely.
Because they listen to him.
Yeah.
Alex is reporting these things from sources like Larry Nichols, or in the past we talked about Larry C. Johnson.
Yeah.
That discredited CIA agent.
It's always a Larry.
There's a lot of weird Larrys.
A lot of Larrys, a lot of Southern accents going on in the Alex Jones show.
What I'm interested in, and this is where the board with thread is going to come in.
Yes.
Eventually, once I put it on my wall.
Yes.
Your
whiteboard with your dry erase markers is sadly empty right now.
It's going to come down to, like, this is a false reality, but who's exploiting it and who's being exploited by it?
Right.
To a certain extent, I know Alex Jones is making millions of dollars off this shit.
Yes.
But at the same time, he doesn't have the same motivations that Larry Nichols does. Larry Nichols got fucked by Bill Clinton and fired for him calling the Contras
right.
and trying to arrange a bunch of shit like that in Nicaragua.
Right.
And he took it very personally and has been on a 30-year campaign to destroy them.
Here's a question.
Hold on.
Okay,
hold on.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. This just popped in my head.
So he has all these sources that have various axes to grind that if he looked into them at all, he'd be like, you can't be on my show.
Right.
You're not a good source.
Right.
You can't do this. But because he is okay with the agenda they're pushing, he becomes complicit in that false reality.
Well, he's happy with their agenda because their agenda dovetails with his.
But the false reality is created by these weirdos that come onto his show as opposed to him.
Right.
He's the facilitator of the false reality that exists in the mind of his listeners.
Right.
So basically, the people who are the like progenitors of the virus are the people like Larry Nichols.
The meme, if you will.
Sure.
God damn it. I will never forgive that fuck.
Yeah, that's that Corsi. Just learn to pronounce words.
Learn to pronounce meme.
So
don't be a dick.
I'm becoming ultimately way more fascinated in the idea of the information funnel. Mm. The sources that these things come from to Alex. Now, granted, he's like, I'm never going to let him off the hook. He's complicit. And a lot of it falls into his prepackaged narratives.
Right.
But he would not be able to push it at all without feigning credibility for people like the two Larrys.
Yes.
Or even for Steve Pachenik.
Two Larrys in a pizza place.
Yeah. Two Larrys in a Pachenik place.
Here's my next question. And I think this blows my mind that I haven't asked this before. Is Larry Nichols being paid? Like, are his guests being paid to come on the show?
Alex's?
Yeah, like,
I have no idea.
Did Larry Nichols get a fee for this?
I have no idea.
Does that not change everything?
I bet they at least have to sign something.
Right?
There has to be a release.
There should be.
Because they're making money off it.
They have to be, yeah, they have to be paid for this. So, of course, Nichols would say something super positive to Alex Jones if he's getting paid, because it's a gig, man. Maybe I'll get paid down the line.
I'm not ready to agree with that, just because I have no evidence of it. I don't know.
That's the only thing I want to know.
Well, I've been on radio shows for free. I've signed things. I have.
Have you been on?
My name is Larry Nichols.
You son of a bitch!
I've been lying this
How
whole time.
How dare you!
No, I have no idea.
You have hidden your southern accent so well.
Because you can't.
Are you actually Jakari Jackson?
I've become an animator.
Who we've just discovered, is a comic book writer now.
I really want to talk to him.
I do. And you know what is crazy? One of his creator,
by the way,
owned comics.
Hold on.
Yeah.
We didn't deal with this at all. As soon as his voice came up after I had said he has a great voice, your eyebrows both just went way up. Like, oh, hello.
Oh, hello.
It's a great fucking voice.
It's a great voice.
So great.
No, here's the thing about his. So while we were talking about Jakari, I looked him up, and he's a comic book writer now.
Yeah.
And creator. Independent.
Yeah.
Seems
super
really
cool.
And one of his creator-owned comics is Daydream, which is about a kid learning to deal with this fantasy world. And that, like, it costs way more money than I'm willing to give somebody who's worked for InfoWars before, which is any money at all.
I'm buying it.
But
as soon as we get done, I'm buying it.
It does seem like a really fascinating thing for a guy like Jakari Jackson, who lived in this fantasy world.
Based on that premise, I'm going to buy it, and we're going to critically deconstruct it. And see
Jakari, email us, knowledgefight@gmail.com.
I really think he's pretty, I think based on very little evidence, I think he has a way better head on his shoulders than anybody else at InfoWars.
Oh,
based on the fact that he's silent through most of that interview and just looking like,
But again, that takes us back to,
he kind of realizes,
it's a gig, man.
He kind of realizes he's being used as a prop, I think. And I might be projecting a bunch. And if I am, I apologize.
I think it's just hope. I think we're all hoping that somebody at InfoWars can see what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, there was that guy who came out on Twitter and said that Alex Jones is a fraud and all that shit.
Yeah.
There was that dude. I can't remember his name now.
Yeah. Well, Alex Jones is a fraud.
Certainly.
It's just a matter of degree.
Yeah. We got a couple more clips left, Jordan. A couple more clips from Larry. This next one is about how tyranny is about to hit. It's happening.
How so?
Well, he basically explains that illegals are going to vote, which is really interesting. Because,
oh, is this the beginning of the 3 million illegals voted thing?
I don't know, because that came from a guy on Twitter.
An asshole on Twitter with like 5 followers who exploded because of this fucking, God, we're all going to die.
But even before that, there was this laying out of the potential narrative.
Yes.
And I think it's really interesting to hear this coming from this thoroughly discredited, obvious pillhead, who's on Alex's show.
20 years ago, could you have believed this could happen? Oh, today, trust me, it's happening. It's happening. But you got one other problem. One of the thing, key elements in our system was what we called the broken coalition. Now, there weren't enough blacks in Arkansas in that day to win an election. Today, nationally, what, it's 12%. In that day, being queer was bad. There weren't that many people that came out and said they were openly gay.
No!
Then you had women's liberals. Then you had the hippies. Then you had the hippies. All of these segments,
we
figured out, you know
what? Oh, fuck
you! Yeah,
there's
good old hardcore conservative Christian moral people in Arkansas. There's more of them than any one of these groups. But what if we got all those little groups together? Then we become a power source that can't be touched. And we did.
Yeah, they like were. The fucking KKK, you garbage pile
they
of
have
fuck.
What's called the broken coalition, which now you have to add in, what, the illegal Mexicans. So
well, that just
everything in that plan is working exactly like clockwork. And the problem is, the American people, Alex, all of you, the American people that still believe that you would still believe that America is or was or whatever. Anybody still believes in America? Guys, you're going to have to suit up. You're going to have to suit up. You can say, hey, I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to do whatever. Yeah, you are. You're either going to lose it by giving up or you're going to stand. And you're going to stand tall and you're going to tell the truth.
Well, that's the thing is this isn't going to be boss hog tyranny like you were involved in, just good old boy stuff. They want to break the system forever, break our will, and domesticate us. This is a hardcore tyranny.
And
it's not a
I mean,
boss
they just
tyranny,
hate prosperity.
Like the
they
I'm
say we didn't build
of.
Our businesses. They tell people in the third world they can't have air conditioning or cars while they're on jumbo jets. I mean, these are some nasty people.
We've been over those two lies. Alex is unable to even really engage with the lies that Larry Nichols is saying. He's only able to go back to his waypoints that we've discussed. This idea that Obama went overseas and said, hey, you guys can't have air conditioning, when he was talking literally about how modernization in the third world has to go better than it has gone for us because we have reached an unsustainable level. And we need to do this smarter. We've learned lessons, and you shouldn't do all this carbon-emitting shit over here. And the same way you didn't build your business isn't about how, hey, you dumbass, your business sucks. Fuck you.
It's about how, hey, you dumbass, people got to your business by driving on roads.
Yeah.
Do you know how they got those fucking roads? Yeah, it was the goddamn government.
Everything exists within a context.
Yeah.
And that's something that's...
This is yet another moment where I'm like, who the fuck is Alex Jones? And how is it that we constantly see this orbit of people around Alex Jones, and yet we can't, or at least I can't. I can't ever quite pin down where Alex is.
I kind of can.
No, but I don't mean...
I got a better sense of him than you.
I don't mean that. I mean more like this Nichols dude is pulling some obvious bullshit with very good, like, manipulative tendrils, like all of these different things where he's planting these ideas facehugger style right into Alex Jones's head.
Totally.
And Alex Jones, at this moment, is unable to engage. Like, he can't understand this shit.
He's taking all it in.
He's taking it all in, but his response is just, bah, 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 bah. It's unrelated.
Clear, it's clear he's not listening.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's
listening, but he is unable. Like, he's a bad interviewer.
Yeah. He's a fucking horrendous interviewer.
It's like an interview. Like, I don't want to compare it to like that Chris Farley show sketch where it's, you know, like, what about that
the
time
Chris
you
Farley.
Did this?
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. Yeah. But it is kind of that, like,
Super similar to that.
I have
though.
One thing to go to.
Yeah.
And it's these waypoints that I have in my mind, these right. lies that I've already built up. And so, like, when.
But then we see him 6 months from now with these same ideas being expressed.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating to me because it again makes me feel like Alex is like the evil child from the Twilight Zone where it's like just somehow he has magic powers. He's just a kid. He doesn't understand anything of what he's doing. He's just got these weird powers and he's using them to hurt people. And in his like child brain, he doesn't get that there's empathy or that any of this exists.
Let me be clear.
Yes.
Here's what I think.
Okay.
If you had,
I love how we're on like episode 10,000,009 and hour 4,000,000,000 and forever,
yeah.
and we're still like, who is Alex Jones?
It's so hard because every single episode we talk about, there's new evidence that throws everything into question.
He's bananas.
But I think my sort of Rosetta Stone, if I can use that, or
yes.
my Marvel card, where it's like I have him, and here's his superpowers and
right.
his deficiencies.
From the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
He is a
shout-out to the best Marvel comic ever.
He's a terrible interviewer. He's shit. He interrupts his guests, or he says nothing, depending on how much he respects them.
Right.
Or how weird his headspace is on
right.
that given day.
Right.
He does not engage with input that comes to him that disagrees with his narratives.
Right.
But, so that's like a two on the, like, 1 to 10 chart. Interview skills.
Yes.
Two.
Yes.
But then.
In his NBA Jam stat
yes.
lines.
Yeah.
That's what we're going with.
But then if you go down to the next one, the ability to talk about nothing aggressively, he's a 10. Like, he can just, he would be
that's true.
He would be the world's best senator. For like a bad cause, because he could filibuster for 20 hours
right.
and it would be fucking hilarious. It would be engaging.
Right.
He wouldn't need a book in front of him.
Right.
He would just start rambling about nonsense.
If Jimmy Stewart were to star in a movie, it would be Mr. Jones shits on Washington.
Alex, Mr. Jones stays in Austin.
Yeah.
It would, but that is where he shines. Mm-hmm. He is able to talk about nothing engagingly for a really long time. And bring in disparate details
right.
from things that don't really involve, but sound just good enough that it makes his argument seem to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a fucking amazing skill.
It really is. It boggles my mind.
Cause I think in one of the first episodes, you and I were talking about, like, you said, I couldn't do that. That,
oh, his absolutely
show?
Not.
And I said, I could do that.
You absolutely couldn't do that.
And I'm starting to come around to that. I could not do that.
No.
I could talk for 4 hours for sure. We've proved that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I couldn't spin aggressive yarns about nothing for 4 hours. He has no preparation. He has no real details, but he is able to monologize
yeah.
in an amazing way.
He's
like one of those comics that you can see, like a Marty DeRosa,
yeah.
who can get up on stage with nothing and kill. You know,
yeah.
he's like that. He is like a guy who's just like,
check out Marty and Sarah's podcast about wrestling.
It's great.
Yeah.
But you see him enter the studio, I'm sure, if you were his producer and be like, I don't know what the fuck he's going to do. He hasn't
yeah.
read anything.
Yeah.
And he gets in there and just rocket ship. He monologizes for a half an hour, comes up with some bullshit, then gets an interview. They say some shit. He doesn't really listen. He gloms on to something they say
yeah.
that works into one of his white nationalist narratives.
Yeah.
And then he's like, all right, let's move farther with this. And then.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it's like, our connotation for spiders, when we kind of apply them to propagandists and the like as people who are
making webs
completely in control of the web. Mm-hmm. He is like a spider on LSD where it's just like, maybe this will work. I don't fucking know. And just keeps spinning this weird web that doesn't make any goddamn
no.
sense.
Cause you've seen those.
I'm sorry. He's a spider on THC as opposed to LSD. Cause the LSD ones, they make eerily perfect webs,
intricate
right?
patterns.
Yeah.
It's a spider on
no,
crack or
he's
something
a,
like
yeah,
that.
He's a fucked up spider.
Yeah. He's making a web that he knows, like, there's a reason I'm doing this. but I'm not quite sure.
Not sure what it is.
I know the current, like, do we even play that clip? I wish I could pull it up, but it's somewhere buried in my phone.
Mm-hmm.
But he was talking about how, like, I know what's going on, but the details, not so sure.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Not so much.
And that really gets down to, like, I think where his headspace is.
It is hard
He gets the narrative he's supposed to push. And that's coming from the people like Larry Nichols,
right.
Larry C. Johnson, Steve Pachenik, Roger Stone, these guys who are feeding him, or even now, like Mike Cernovich has become even grandfathered into that sort of pantheon.
Right.
Because without using the word cucked, he's cucked Alex Jones a bit. He's way more popular than Alex Jones.
They're putting together a whole different media company.
It's all fun and games until the reality sets in that these people are really working bullshit.
They're
doing it intentionally.
They're growing stronger, but that's the other thing about that. Again, the Iran election today really was filled with hope for me. And you see this, especially with the local ones, because, I think it's Rouhani. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, properly.
You're close.
But, he won and he had already been in office for a long time. He'd already served one term. The fact that many of those local elections where it is people who have been ruled by the same conservative, council members for forever and ever and ever are suddenly now being overtaken by reformists because it's the local elections. It's that kind of shit. That's the ground game that the Democratic Party has gotten their ass kicked on for so long. How many governorships are Republican? How many city councils? How many state senates? All of these things. These are the places where the Republicans have really infiltrated us and destroyed us. Mm-hmm. And now in Iran, of all places, you know, bastion of democracy, Iran.
But again, they have a great history way.
They
in the
do
past.
Have a great history.
Yeah.
They do.
They have a very progressive history that
one
has been
that was fucked over by us. But that's the thing that gives me hope because again, young people, I do think that the younger generations, and it is hard to argue anything else, are more progressive, are more aware, are more educated, and are more willing to entertain ideas that will benefit everybody than the older generations.
Totally.
And so when you see them start to take over that local arena, that's when you start to see real change.
Well, I think that history is cyclical in so many ways, and one of the major focuses of the cycle is that wishing we could go back to whatever.
Right. Is dumb.
It's dormant. It's dormant for a bit. And then society makes progress and people start to come together and they, you know, we all get rights for gays and what have you. I mean, that's just because that's our modern cycle. I'm using those examples.
Right.
But meanwhile, all these resentful forces are bubbling under the surface and they start to build up and eventually it gets to a crisis point where everyone who wants society to move forward realizes, all right, we got to do something about this. They never do until it becomes a crisis. That's my theory of generations.
Yeah.
Is that progressives always push towards progress, but really
until we get complacent.
Yes.
And then
but
it
not
hits us.
Not complacent. It's just when the conservative and regressive forces become radical.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes like, well, now it's going to become a problem.
Yeah.
Like in the same way that anti-union shit ended up in riots. In the same way.
Ended up in murders.
Yeah. In the same way that the 70s, early 70s, late 60s became bedlam. It's progress meeting, the radicalization of regress.
Yeah.
And I think we're probably heading towards that in terms of where our society is going. The issue is, for me, that's how things go, just sort of in a natural ebb and flow.
Right.
Without outside influence.
Every reaction equal and opposite.
Yeah, but when we were talking about Iran, they had an amazing progressive society until we fucked it up.
Yep.
And now they're coming.
America! Fuck yeah!
And now of their own, because of generational cycles, they're coming back to that. And hopefully it will work.
Right.
Hopefully it will come back. I worry that the situation that we have in our country is us doing the same thing to ourselves that we did to foreign countries.
Yeah, I think we're both, again, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Here is my daily fucking cycle between optimism and cynicism. Mm-hmm. Is always going to be, will we do it in time? Mm-hmm. I think that's my biggest issue now, right?
Yeah.
I think there will absolutely be a progressive bounce back. The pendulum will swing back towards progressives.
Yeah.
I don't think that's within question.
It's already happening.
Yeah. The question is, will it be in time? Will we be able to do enough to stop the damage that has already been done and is being done?
Now,
Betsy DeVos is murdering schools. She is absolutely going out of her way to stab small children in the throat.
You know, it's a fun fact that no one seems to want to talk about?
What?
She and her husband own stock in student loan collection organizations.
Wait. Are you saying that maybe her decision to repeal and remove those loan forgiveness programs has something to do with enriching herself?
Yeah.
Odd. That's so out of character for the administration that we're living under.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah, it's insane. But I want to take a further step back.
I don't know if I can do that.
And look at the world in terms of like empires that have existed.
Do you mean the ones where America falls?
Well, we are living under the American Empire. I think it's the last.
Collapsing.
But the last, you know, couple hundred years has been America as the big superpower.
I would say the last 100 years.
Certainly.
Yeah.
But you look at these places like Greece was a superpower and Rome was a superpower. And the things that happened to them afterwards, they became complacent. Tourism places.
Yeah.
You know, like they found their niche as being like, all right, we're here.
Right.
We got some great stuff you can come check out. We're actively working against the possibility of that being our future. That like, that sort of hammock that superpowers get to after their empires fall, we're destroying our natural parks. Trump is trying to work against our natural beauty. We have shown over and over again that the statistics in terms of our tourism numbers are way down. And it might just because we're in conflict and once we come out the other end of it, after we lose, tourism will go back up.
Right.
Maybe. Well, that's the case. But like,
I think the largest question for our empire, which I think is very, unique, is will our culture remain dominant? Because you think about
pieces of it.
You think about Hollywood and you like, I think about will Bollywood take over? You know, that kind of thing. Will all of these other
If you look in terms of mass numbers, foreign markets have taken over Hollywood. So many of these movies that bomb in America make billions of dollars overseas.
Right. But they're still American movies. Like they still have that. Is it going to be that America will dominate movie culture and that will be, or just fucking McDonald's?
Yeah.
Like it's hard to imagine America winning any wars without McDonald's now or Starbucks. Like imagine, I think it was Dylan Moran has the best joke about
it. He sucks.
He does.
I'm kidding.
You did not. I respect that. He did not have a good show.
It was fine. He's funny. It was a bad set.
It was a bad set. But his bit about how the American Empire started was, when the British came in, they kicked everybody out and they were like, fuck off. We own this now. And then America just very stealthily builds a Starbucks around you. Mm-hmm. Like that seems to me to be the more, empire building aspect of America
now you're talking globalist shit.
It is. Like, there's a Starbucks on every fucking corner.
Yeah.
Like, is that America or is that globalism?
Well, the part of Alex's sort of cosmology that I won't disagree with is that, like, it is clear, I don't think it's by force, that American culture has been very attractive to people all around the world. Now, whether it's through, like, we have billions of dollars and we're going to put Starbucks everywhere, or it's Starbucks takes care with their coffee, they make a quality product, and people enjoy it. I mean, whether it's one or the other, I'm not entirely sure, but...
Well, to me, that's the better ambassador for America. It sure as fuck isn't our foreign policy.
No.
But not, the fact that now. The fact that if you're in China, you can go to a McDonald's says more about American hegemony than anything else.
And it says a lot about McDonald's, how much they care about America, that they shift their menu in every country.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck about America. And they shouldn't.
That's true.
And they shouldn't.
Right.
They're a business.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure what I'm saying.
I am really not sure what your argument there is.
We've gone off on a really long, weird path. And,
oh, that's so unusual for us.
Larry Nichols has more things to say.
It's been so long, I don't know who we're talking about.
For about 10 minutes, I've been trying to figure out a way to transition into this clip. Larry Nichols believes that, the Tea Party is the answer to all of society's ills.
Ugh.
And he believes
the wrongest of the wrongs.
He believes that the Republicans are actively trying to work against the Tea Party, which is which was kind of fair in 2015.
I think they were trying to usurp the Tea Party,
the GNC,
as opposed to work against them.
The RNC, not the yes. GNC. That's the supplement people.
That's the supplement people.
That's the
They might as well be the ROP.
That's the muscly Alex Jones. The GNC.
The GOP RNC.
You know me. the RNC does not want to give up control, and so they're threatened by Tea Party.
True.
That premise is kind of true.
I would say that premise is accurate.
But this is going to get into things that are less true.
They despise the Tea Party because they know the one thing that I know. The Tea Party, if it can be led, the Tea Party can take over the RNC. And if we took over the RNC, we could take back our country with
God
a choice.
Damn, that sounds too close to reality.
It's not going to be a choice. Once those Mexicans are made to be able to vote, you will have seen. The last national election in this country's history.
Ugh.
Once those Mexicans are allowed to vote. I know he's talking about illegal immigrants, but
he's
at the same
not.
Time, it's...
He's not.
He means to.
I think if he was conscious, he would make more of an effort to say so. But you know exactly what it means. He means that once Latinos in America, mm-hmm. who are American citizens, start voting, it will be towards people who support them.
And don't
and
say
support
this
their
sort
desires.
Of shit about
yeah,
them.
Yeah, exactly. And don't say they're all rapists.
Yeah.
And that was the demographic argument that was made the entire Clinton campaign
mm-hmm.
was that, well, Trump doesn't have a chance because now that the demographics have changed so much, it doesn't matter who the Republicans run in a national election. It only matters where they run regional.
Which goes back to Larry Nichols' fractured demographics
exactly.
argument.
Exactly.
You bring in the gays. You bring in the blacks. Mm-hmm. We can now defeat white people.
As opposed to actually putting forth a progressive plan. A progressive ideology is the one that is supported by the majority of the United States.
At this point, it always has been. I think that's true.
It always has been.
Yeah.
But the election people will argue against it, and it's hard to believe they will argue against it for any other reason than they're paid a shit ton of money by people to do so. It's money.
Holy
find your
shit.
Nearest billionaire and go fuck him.
Holy shit.
What's your holy shit moment?
I just got a tweet from our friend's band, the Razor Ramones.
Okay.
Just tweeted me a picture out at some wrestling show. he's sitting behind someone with an InfoWars shirt.
Oh, no.
Took a nice picture of some weirdo at this local wrestling show with an InfoWars shirt. Shout out. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know your name, but the Razor Ramones, cool band that has an NWO theme. Love it. So we've got one more clip left to play, and this one is... So, but before
to
we
all
to
of
this,
our listeners, if you are coincidentally going to a wrestling show while we're recording, we will shout you out.
Oh, especially if there is a Hillary for prison shirt that you see.
Oh, of course.
Seems to be a high incidence of that at wrestling shows.
I couldn't imagine why.
So, the last clip we're going to play is a nice sort of punchline, and it's weird. But before we get to it, I want to summate a little bit.
Yes.
Alex started this show unaware of what to do about the Charleston shooting.
Yes.
He ambivalently wandered around and accidentally, probably intentionally, but also accidentally spouted a bunch of incredibly racist ideas.
Yes.
He wandered around until he had a African-American preacher on the show who went way further than him and gave him permission and cover to be like, oh, no, it is all about guns. It's all fake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was the first narrative. Secondarily, he has Larry Nichols on, who, as we've discussed, is a thoroughly discredited guy who got fired by Bill Clinton and has hated him from the jump.
Yeah.
And has done everything in his power to take him down to the extent of lying on public radio shows, lying on conservative radio shows and then pretending.
Lying to liberal interviewers like Mother Jones and the like.
Absolutely. And then waffling back and forth whether I love Hillary
or maybe telling the truth to liberal outlets.
It's, who knows? Who fucking knows?
He just says whatever it is that will get him attention and will get him.
The point is he's
what he thinks is his
thoroughly
goal.
Discredited.
Yeah. He's nothing.
He is a absolute terrible source of information. At the same time, the things that he's saying to Alex, I do believe, inform the 2016 election campaign.
Okay.
I think that Alex, you're the only person who can help us. That sort of thing. You need to galvanize the Tea Party people. Jeb Bush isn't gonna do it.
Right.
These sorts of ideas that Larry Nichols says to Alex, I think are transformative. I think that they set the bedrock of Alex's coverage, and I think it's fucked up that I just started. I listened to a couple days before Trump's announcement, and they were really boring as shit, nothing really in them. But just after Trump announces, this episode happens, and I think it is the launching pad for Alex losing his mind.
Yeah.
I think that this will be the beginning of our analysis of just...
This is the gestation of the xenomorph.
A man's fall from grace.
Yeah. Let's not give him grace.
It wasn't grace.
Let's not go anywhere near grace.
It's a fall from disgrace. So this next...
It's a man's fall from the seventh level of hell to the ninth.
What's the seventh? Is that liars?
I just pulled one.
The ninth.
I don't think it's important considering how Dante was just pissed off about people he knew.
I love Dante, but yeah, you're totally right.
he was just picking people he knew to bitch about.
Yeah, and
that was it.
And it was mostly about how he had a boner for Beatrice.
Yeah, I mean, dude's got to fuck, but I mean, come on.
So this last clip is just a really fun, like, insight into who Larry Nichols is as a person. It's just like
Peacock Killer.
He don't give a shit.
Okay.
He's done. It's
all right.
Game over for
all
him.
Right.
He doesn't
all right.
care. It starts with Alex explaining that his book is out of print and it goes from there.
Wait. That Nichols's book is out of print or Alex's? Okay.
I know your book's out of print when I asked you about that. How do folks support you or if folks want to talk to you, get you to speak to their group or come on their show? I know you give out your home number and your address for folks.
You
so why don't you give that
out
for
your
people?
Home number.
Well, you bet. Look, my phone number is 440-897-0611. My address is 58 Kensington Drive, Conway, Arkansas, 72034. And Alex, I know people are going, how many people have you ever had on the show that give out their home number, their home address? Guys, under this regime, you ain't going to hide. You're not going to hide. There's no sense in it. Either we get together, either we form up, or forever shut them out. Because this thing is coming down.
That's crazy.
And as we speak...
Are you calling him?
I'm a policy wonk.
Hey, everybody. Dan here.
And I'm here, too.
Here's the deal.
Oh, I'm Jordan, by the way.
Here's the situation. We called Larry Nichols.
We neither admit nor deny that we called Larry Nichols. I refuse to turn over my cell phone records.
But when I say we, I mean you, Jordan. At this point in the episode, we called Larry Nichols, and spoiler alert, that is his current phone number. We do not think you should call him.
No.
We want to be very clear, leave this old man alone. Here's the deal. We called him. It is still his phone number. Leave the man alone. But it was pretty hilarious. He did answer
super
his phone.
Funny.
And we talked to him for a little bit. He refused to say anything, basically. He didn't refuse. It wasn't that he was like, hey, I don't want to talk. It's he was on oxygen. And he didn't want to answer any questions about Alex Jones.
He was pretty nice.
He was very nice.
I bet if we called him again, we could talk to him.
Probably.
Yeah.
We fucked up and didn't tell him it was recording.
Yeah.
And so, in the interest of following the law and just decency, we decided to cut it out. So, hey.
Sorry you guys missed that.
You're missing out on some pretty funny stuff.
Listen, if you haven't subscribed, you're going to miss out on a lot of breaking Stevie Larry Nichols calls.
Anyway, back to the episode. Enjoy your lives.
I'm a policy wonk.
That was really fucked up.
It's actually his fucking phone number! Are you shitting me? I thought that was going to be a bit! That was actually fucking him!
This is the craziest thing that's ever happened on this podcast.
That is fucking nuts!
You know what? He's probably on oxygen. But
he
at the
really
same
is.
Time, that's not an excuse not to say what he thinks about Trump. Also, did you get the sense that he kind of does not want to talk about Alex?
I think he kind of does not want to talk about anything right now.
That's fair.
Bananas!
That's amazing.
It turns out that he actually did give out his phone number on the show, and 2 years later
didn't change it.
It's his same fucking number.
So it's on there. You guys can call him. Feel free to call him. All you hundreds of people out there.
Or if you would like to write a letter, it is 58 Kensington Drive, Conway, Arkansas, 72544.
Also, when they played that on Alex's show, they had a place card already made up, and it flashed up on screen with his address.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so it was like, hey, send him your letter. Send him a Valentine card. Who knows?
Never would have expected that was actually his number.
And this is super fucked up. We just talked to Larry Nichols. Jordan, I don't know what to do. We gotta run away.
Guys, if you support Knowledge Fight, go to knowledgefight.com. We have a link that is you can click to donate.
Yes, absolutely. On knowledgefight.com, it says support the show. If you want to donate any amount of money, you'll become a policy wonk. If you want to donate $10 a month, we will time travel to a certain date.
And frankly, we're going to call Larry Nichols again, regardless of what you do. So.
Literally every single show, we're calling Larry Nichols.
I can't believe it.
You saved that goddamn number.
Oh, believe me, that number is in my phone. I have actually added that contact as Larry Nichols. Do not think that is not the case.
That's so amazing. This episode could not have ended any better than I could have imagined. Like I said, our website is knowledgefight.com. You can follow us on Twitter at knowledge_fight. Please check us out on iTunes. If you have not yet, please subscribe. And give us a nice rating. Give us a review.
It would be very kind of you.
If you're Larry Nichols, give us a review. Tell us to stop calling you. But to be fair, look.
You gave out your fucking number. That's on you, Mr. Nichols.
I would feel so bad about calling a random person on air, but he did do that.
He's a fucking monster. Go fuck himself.
He absolutely is. And
also, who answers an unwanted number?
Also, I don't like how you put my full name in the street.
Oh, yeah, no. Larry Nichols is going to find you, son.
As if he's going to remember. He's on oxygen.
Let me ask you a question,
Jesus Christ. Dan,
yeah. We've all been through an emotional ringer.
I really wish John Rappaport would put out his phone number.
Larry Nichols is now our spirit guide, who will be receiving a weird number of calls from policy wonks.
Yeah.
But if we're going to end the episode, are we going to say like some sort of catchphrase?
Well, we've just confirmed that Larry Nichols is still alive.
Larry Nichols is still alive.
You said I should look it up. We just did it. He is still alive.
Is anybody else still alive, Dan?
John Rappaport still lives.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.